tuning in today and for being a part of what we call Conversation Radio. And remember, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. So get out and make some change for yourself. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. I'll see you tomorrow. Children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution.
This is a Quality News Network. Terror alert levels have been raised to red for travel between the UK and US. That follows the announcement by British authorities that they unveiled a plot to blow up 10 US-bound jets over the Atlantic. The suspects reportedly plan to use liquid explosives brought aboard in carry-on luggage. The AP reports that several people suspected of being involved in the plot have been arrested in Pakistan. Those arrests occurred several days ago. Today, British officials arrested 24 citizens, many of them of Pakistani descent. At the United Nations, sources tell CNN that the U.S. and France have agreed on the main points of a resolution to end clashes between Israel and Hezbollah. A vote on the resolution could come tomorrow. Meanwhile, in Beirut, Israeli strikes have hit the heart of the city after leaflets were dropped warning residents to evacuate. Hezbollah fired more than 130 rockets into Israel today, killing at least two civilians. Israeli forces have also taken over a largely Christian town in southern Lebanon. Officials say Hezbollah rockets were fired from the village. In Jerusalem today, police say a 25-year-old tourist was stabbed to death by an Arab youth in what they're calling a politically motivated crime. They say the suspect stabbed the man in the back, then fled the scene. In Iraq, 35 people were killed and nearly 100 wounded by a suicide bomb. It occurred near a Shia shrine in the southern city of Najaf. In Florida, officials say a laptop containing personal information was stolen late last month from a government vehicle. The laptop contains information on 133,000 Floridians. In New York, authorities say the Statue of Liberty's crown will be closed permanently. It's been off-limits to tourists since the September 11th attacks. The National Park Service says letting people climb up the staircase is too dangerous. In China, at least two people have been killed and nearly 20 others are missing. More than 1.5 million residents have evacuated as the biggest typhoon in 50 years blows across the country's southeastern coast. In Sri Lanka, fighting continues near a disputed waterway that Tamil Tigers reopened yesterday. At least two soldiers have been reported killed and more than two dozen injured. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation will give $500 million to a global fund that provides AIDS assistance in poor countries. The Geneva-based Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria will receive the grant over 5 years.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
BP says it will cost $100 million to repair the corroded pipeline shut down this week. Alaska's governor has launched an investigation into possibly deceptive practices by the company. First-time claims for state unemployment benefits rose by 7,000 last week to 319,000. And the government reports America's trade deficit improved slightly in June. Still, the $64.8 billion deficit is the fifth largest ever. Hewlett-Packard plans to add 2,000 jobs to its operations center in Costa Rica. The company says it wants to employ 6,000 workers there by 2007. Target and JCPenney posted better-than-expected second-quarter earnings. The retailers partly credit high sales of food and women's accessories. IBM has announced it's buying FileNet, a provider of business process and content management software. The deal is worth $1.6 billion. Kaiser Permanente has agreed to pay a fine of $2 million to the state of California. Regulators found the HMO's kidney transplant program endangered hundreds of patients. General Motors plans to begin selling its revamped Camaro muscle car in 2009. Company officials say production will begin at the end of next year. Light sweet crude settled today at $74. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 48 points at 11,124. NASDAQ up 11 points at 2072. S&P 500 up 6 points at 1272. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. This is a terror alert. Repeat. This is a terror alert. The afraid America, be terrified. Muslims want to attack you with skin lotion.
Really? I am so sick of this stupid crap. I mean, once is a coincidence. Twice is oddly serendipitous. Three times and you begin to think it's the, well, you know. Four, five, six, where are we now? The day after Joe Lieberman gets his butt handed to him in Connecticut, and the entire Republican power structure can see the entire house of cards imploding on top of them. Jesus, the Muslim fascists are gonna get us with hand lotion. Oh my God, it's death by Jergens.
This is a terror alert. Your airline terror level has been elevated to Elmo or red. Please act terrified accordingly. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, how damn dumb are they, or how dumb do they think we are? This is the... I'm stunned with it. I'm stunned by the Bushevik's willingness to pull out all the stops over Joe Lieberman. But then again, Joe Lieberman is all of them. Ich bin ein Joe Lieberman. Does it all work, fall together for you like it does for me? There really was a communication from Karl Rove to Lieberman saying, the boss wants me to let you know we'll do whatever we can to help. 2 days later, we get this. Yeah, and frankly, you know, if, again,
all you've got to do is apply a teeny tiny little bit of skull sweat to this, and it's over, and it's exposed for the stupid, ugly fraud that it is.
Terrorists were going to use gelatinous substances and bring on the various components of their bomb-making capacity via different passengers. Others would have the triggering devices hidden in digital watches or perhaps computers or maybe portable smoothie mixers. Exceptions will be made for mandatory medications and infant formula. See, when you get to that part, you know that it's a great big honkin' steamin' stinkin' load of BS. Because what did we just tell the tourists? We just told the tourists that they are not going to be allowed to blow up our airplanes unless it is with infant something that looks like infant formula. I hate these bastards. I loathe them. I despise them, playing these stupid mind games. I'm smart enough to pick this up. You're smart enough to pick this up. But how? What does it feel like? What does it feel like when you're standing in the queue to get aboard the aircraft and they come? I'm sorry, ma'am. The oil of Olay has got to go. And you, sir, with the psoriasis. No lotion for you, buddy. You're going to sit there and dry out and flake away and burn and itch and ooze and bleed on the aircraft. I loathe these sons of bitches. I'm sorry. I got this big old vocabulary, and sometimes I run out of words to describe these monsters with. So a year from now, an airliner fell out of the sky today, victim of an Infamil bomb. I mean, there was a story in the news two years ago about a woman being forced to taste her own pre-expressed breast milk trying to get on an airliner. I took my son to get on an airplane in Nashville a couple of months ago. I had to take my shoes off, and so did he. You know, what is this, something out of the Partridge Family? Oh, he may look 10 years old, but that's a midget in kids' clothing. Midget terrorists from outer space. I truly loathe these people. And frankly, it all fits together so nicely. It's so perfectly Rovian. Lieberman claiming, somebody hacked my website. It was a denial of service attack. That means a whole bunch of computers tried to log onto that site. He'd been trying to get traffic to the site. He got traffic to the site. It turns out that he's got a crappy little website and it can't handle the traffic and it goes down. That doesn't mean you got hacked, Lieberman. But Karl Rove thinks it means you got hacked. Remember, the boss said to do anything we can to help you, buddy. You know, Carl, I was criticized for criticizing your policy on the war on terror. I need some help here. This is a terror alert. America under attack by gelatinous substances such as Jell-O and yogurt.
Excuse me? No, this is Bob Kincaid.
Yogurt of death at 40,000 feet. what did you do? Is it just me? I mean, or did the rest of you wake up and say, because, you know, if you went to the news sites, it was, you know, an attack like this, an attack like this. And I'm, Dad's got the news on in there. What attack, Dad? And he goes, no attack. They're talking about an attack that... This sick manipulation, maybe it ends in November when we can demand a little bit of accountability. But, you know, you do understand that you have got to gird yourself up with the armor of reason and common sense between now and November, because we are going to have, oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, we are going to have a terror alert a day, sunshine. And George hopped off his airplane today, all ready to talk about it, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. We got the audio here in a little bit. Not going to run it right now. Right now, I want to talk to Ben, joining us from Elgin, Illinois. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Bob.
How are you?
I've got a slightly different take on this than you do.
Okay.
I think that it is actually, you know, I predicted back in 2003 that the next thing that terrorists would use against us to blow up airliners in the wake of the failed Chu bomber was clear liquid. I had in mind not binary clear liquids like they're talking about here, where you got to mix them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a perfume bottle and you take nitroglycerin, which, you know, it's easy to come by nitroglycerin, really, you can get it out of dynamite, and you fill it right up to the top so there's no air bubble, and you put in a drop of red dye to make it look like it's really perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the lid on tight, and you put it in your carry-on baggage, and you don't drop it.
Yeah.
That's... You can get that right onto an airliner, no problem.
No jostling.
Well, you know, you were on a suicide mission anyway. It's only slightly less terrifying if you blow up in the check bag line.
Well, you know, some of this stuff is just rehashed garbage, and even some of the alphabet soup networks recognized it, Ben, because they were talking, this looks like another manifestation of the Bojinka plot.
Exactly. And that is, in fact, you know, what it is. But, you know, they might have had a real plot here. You know, I mean, understand that they don't have to create terrorist plots out of whole cloth to have terrorist plots.
Oh no, I understand that, Ben. It's the PR that surrounds it.
Oh yeah, no, they have been waiting for a terrorist plot to occur. You know, you can sort of it is let it happen on purpose or made it happen on purpose, but at one step of remove, it just takes a little bit of psychology. You know that if you screw with the Arab world hard enough and blow up enough women and enough children and rape enough girls and rape enough little boys and take enough pictures of Arab men in humiliating poses and take enough pictures of dead Arab men shot through the back of the head with Lindy England making the thumbs up sign standing on their backs, okay? You know that if you do enough of that, you will create enough terrorists that whenever you need to have a terrorist plot to expose, you'll find a real one.
Yeah, you'll have one handy. And it doesn't necessarily mean that these people were going to be successful.
No, absolutely doesn't mean they were going to be
successful. And a real government, a government of courage and a government of bravery, goes about its business
quietly.
Because you don't want to, among other things, let them know that you're onto the fact that they want to blow you up with Jell-O.
You know, the sane way to have done this would have been to roll them all up as quickly as possible, as quietly as possible, and leave their contacts elsewhere wondering what happened to them.
Or step in and, you know, a lot of this stuff is done by in computer chat. And I mean, if we're to believe all the crap that we're told by the administration, and, you know, that's open for debate.
Do what the British did in World War II.
Yeah,
exactly. When the British compromised a German, you know, covert operative with a radio, they kept the radio going.
Yeah.
Yep. And they kept feeding garbage to the Germans the whole time, talking about General Pershing's huge army that was in Scotland, which was all made of cardboard.
Yeah.
You know.
And rubber and inflatable tanks.
Yep. Exactly right.
But that's what a smart government does. That's what a government does that actually wants to protect its people. A government that is more hell-bent on terrorizing its people, Ben, puts it out on Fox News and runs the terror threat up to red, by God. Red. We've never been to red before.
Exactly.
I hate them. I hate them, Ben. I just
hate
them.
I loathe them with every fiber of my being. You know, yeah, this was probably an entirely real terrorist plot. They didn't make it up. They didn't create it themselves. All they did was till the ground and fertilize the ground and plant the seed.
And the,
then they act surprised when the plants come up a few months
later. Sure, you know, and the seeds themselves are, you know, every 1,000-pound bomb that lands on Lebanon, every cruise missile that lands on a neighborhood in Iraq, it scatters those seeds, as you describe them, Ben, like so many dandelion puffs blown on the wind.
Exactly right. We have created a terrorist threat that we can depend on for propaganda uses for the next 1,000 years. Because, you know, people in that part of the world remember stuff that happened when the caliph was thrown out of Damascus.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah, I know.
No. The other thing is, it's ridiculous to try to keep people, except maybe for a couple of days, although you know it's going to be permanent, from bringing liquids and so forth onto the airliners, because I'm telling you, they have not even begun to prevent somebody with a little bit of a MacGyver streak in them from bringing down an airliner.
Well, no, and the what I was trying to get at in pointing out the exceptions to medication. My God, essential medication. Assuming he was able to fly, my father,
nitroglycerin,
could walk on board an airplane with a bottle labeled nitroglycerin.
You betcha. You betcha, and you know there are similar things. Some inhalers are pretty explosive.
It doesn't, airliners by, and you're the engineering guy. Airliners by definition, they're very big, very heavy things. But as compared to other things, they try to use light substance.
They're aluminum skin origami. All of their strength, their monocoque fuselages, and all of their strength is in their skin. Once you blow a significant hole in the skin, especially when the aircraft is pressurized, especially at altitude, you can actually break the airliner in half, which is probably the sort of thing that happened with, the TWA plane that went down in Long Island Sound.
Well, sudden depressurization is enough to destroy the aircraft, is it not?
Generally, yes. Generally, yes. Explosive depressurization, that's a bad thing. The sorts of things that are like gaping holes.
I know, Ben. And what I'm working toward here is because of that seeding of the ground that you have so eloquently described. There's always going to be somebody that says, let's blow up an airplane.
And you can find that person and use him for whatever you need to, whenever the political need is upon you.
And yes, and the fact that you're. Well, this might come out sounding like an argument for the secrecy state. It is not.
Correct.
But the fact is, if you know that you've got a burglar operating in your neighborhood, you don't put up posters on every telephone pole down the street saying, "Congratulations, neighborhood, we've just installed new locks." You don't do that.
Nope.
It would be far better, if you're smart. And see, I gotta wonder about the British in this particular game, Ben, because we've stung them before, we've screwed them before.
Oh, we screwed the British, but it's Tony Blair. You have to understand, Tony Blair, when he retires, is going to be part of the Carlyle Group and will never want for material comfort the entire rest of his life.
It's lark vomit canapes all the way to the grave.
Absolutely, and that is He is going to be well paid,
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're Scotland Yard, and you go about this, and the stories all say, the individual, 21 individuals were quietly rounded up by British Ronald, and I don't doubt that they were quietly rounded up. But then you got dear leader, dear doofus leader, who has greater political needs to terrorizing his nation than he does in protecting it. Hey, we caught us, Tony Blair's government caught us some terrorists today.
Yep.
And just blows the whole thing.
Now, let's go to some West Virginia history here.
Okay.
What did Union Carbide originally make?
Among other things, carbide.
Yep, calcium carbide.
Yes.
You know, made by reacting lime, you know, with heat and a couple other chemicals. And what does calcium carbide do when you put it in water?
Oh, it makes a hell of a light. That's why you can take it underground in the mines.
Well, yeah, it makes acetylene gas.
Yeah.
Well, you know, have you ever held any in your hand?
Yeah.
It's gravel.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anything. It is just a handful of gravel.
I remember being, you've got me running far afield now, Ben, but I was a little bitty boy, and my father had taken me up to an abandoned mine site where he had worked as a young man. And there was just all kinds of stuff laying around, and there was a serviceable carbide lamp helmet.
Yep.
And we came back down into town, and he went to one of these old stores and went way, way, way back in the back and found the last box of, you know, 10, 20-year-old carbide.
Yep.
And he hooked it all up, made it work, and boom, light.
Tremendous amounts of light.
Yeah.
Yep. Some of my caver friends still use that stuff.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's handy,
yep.
And it works, and you know it reacts with water, so drippy little cave, no prob.
So if you had a stuffed toy that you're bringing on an airliner, well, you know, toys are usually stuffed with something, you know, bean-like or gravel-like.
Yeah, some sort of crumbly medium.
If it were stuffed with calcium carbide, it would get right through the inspection. And then you go into the washroom on the airliner, and then you fill a cup with water, and you stuff the little toy in there, and then you stuff the toy and the cup full of water in a plastic garbage bag, and wait for that garbage bag to inflate with nice acetylene. Then you make a spark.
And there's
you and the contents of the lavatory will be blown out the side of the aircraft, and the airplane is going down into the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
And that
it's not hard. I mean, I hate to say this, but the thing is, the national security apparatus understands, Ben, that this is not hard to do.
Right. And, you know, but they never seem to take any of these warnings to heart until it happens.
I know. You know, never mind. Yeah, never mind the bottle of Retin A skin cream.
Right.
You know, maybe guys, full grown men carrying big teddy bears, might be the problem.
Exactly right. Or people with recent surgery.
Yeah.
Because you know, it would be really, really simple for a surgeon to implant a very sizable bomb in your abdomen, one that you could set off pretty easily with, oh, say, your cell phone, which has been gimmicked as a remote.
And none of this, all of this is very real, Ben, and none of this is going to be stopped by terrorizing the American people.
Precisely. These things keeping us from having our jackknife, keeping us from having our nail clip, keeping us from having our suntan lotion, keeping us from having our bottled water, all of that serves no security or safety purpose whatsoever. It is entirely for show. It is entirely to create a sense of terror and the illusion that something is being done. And in that, it is a perfect model of everything that Joseph Stalin taught these guys.
Yes, it is. And not just Stalin. I'm reminded there is, and my German's not what it used to be, but there was a German word, Schrecklichkeit, or
yes.
Schrecklichkeit. I'm not sure which.
Yep.
And it's a
kite.
Yeah, it's about it's a word that means the installation of maximum horror.
Yep.
Somebody's
we're
been,
about here.
Somebody's been reading the manual, Ben.
Oh, these guys helped write the manual back when.
Yeah. Ben, thanks so much.
You take care, sir.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is not about the anarchist cookbook and how to blow up an airplane. This is about how to tell when your government of the people, by the people, and for the people is feeding you a line of happy crap and expecting you to spoon it up and like it. One of these days, I'm working on it, one of these days, I got to get the three rules from W.C. Fields. Never give a sucker an even break. Don't smarten up a chump. But most importantly, you can't cheat an honest man. And that is what the liberal left is. If we are nothing else, we are honest with ourselves and our world. And we are damned well not going to be cheated by a bunch of right-wing fascist thugs. Plain enough? I should hope so. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism,
and that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts,
and will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
It's the only hope you've got to stop the fascists. I suppose, it's about 25 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid. Are we clear now? You're not accidentally listening to some right-wing radio, so, yeah, relax. I suppose, let's go ahead and deal with it. Let's run Dear Leader's comments on the great big terror alert of the day. Here he comes, walking down the little steps from the airplane, across the tarmac. He's buffering.
Falling on his face.
But hearing George Bush use the word fascist.
Minister Tony Blair, over the weekend, in fact, there was a photo released by the White House, and we were told that the discussion centered, of course, on the Middle East crisis. Now we understand that
those
discussions included as well talk of this investigation. And there you see
that. Oh, so they've hung on to it all weekend long.
Comments there in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That our fellow citizens are now learning about are a stark reminder that this nation is at war with Islamic fascists who will use any means to destroy those of us who love freedom, to hurt our nation. I want to thank the government of Tony Blair and officials in the United Kingdom for their good work in busting this plot.
It's a bust.
I thank the officials in Washington, D.C. and around our country who gather intelligence and who work to protect the American people. The cooperation on this
venture. He's wearing the box again,
excellent.
Isn't he?
Cooperation between UK and U.S. authorities and officials was solid. And the cooperation amongst agencies within our government was excellent. This country is safer than it was prior to 9/11. We've taken a lot of measures to protect the American people. But obviously we're still not completely safe. Because there are people that still plot.
You fool.
And people who want to harm us for what we believe in. It is a mistake to believe there is no threat to the United States of America.
Oh, there's a threat.
And that is why we've given our officials the tools they need to protect our people. Travelers are going to be inconvenienced as a result of the steps we've taken. I urge their patience and ask them to be vigilant. The inconvenience occurs because we will take the steps necessary to protect the American people. Again, I appreciate the close cooperation between our government and the government of the United Kingdom. The American people need to know we live in a dangerous world, but our government will do everything we can to protect our people from those dangers. Thank you.
President Bush making some brief remarks there at the airport at Green Bay, Wisconsin, saying...
Enough. Thank you. Well, you know, we may wind up playing that again. But one thing is abundantly clear. If you watch the pacing and the pauses, this is no different from some hack actor who has just forgotten the whole to-be-or-not-to-be speech when he's standing on stage all by his lonesome waiting for the prompter to go, slings and arrows... Things in wheelbarrows, yet suffer the things in wheelbarrows, slings and arrows. Did you hear the pauses? You heard the pauses. It's the thing. And of course, if you watch the video, you know, the angle. Oh, no back angles. Can't see that big damn square box in his suit. There was somebody, you know, he never does this next to any other FM transmitters, you know, because if it was next to a Walmart, he might be. The terrorists hate us for our values. Cantaloupes, 2 for $5. cleanup on aisle three. There's a reason. Let's go to the phones. David is joining us from Tennessee. David, welcome to the program.
Oh, Bob, what a wonderful segment. You know, I had a big old thunderstorm go through, so the 7:15 to 7:30 was not really available to me as the the rolling thunder went through the neighborhood. But
I understand.
But I gotta ask you. I know you've had fun with Dear Leader's voice from time to time, but when he was slurring and mushing up those words about fascism. When did fascism have four syllables in it?
No, I don't.
You weren't playing with that one, were you, brother? Was that one just the way?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, that has not been audio messed with at all. He says fascism.
Well, I tell you what, he was in the mini bar between wherever it was he took off.
Yeah, because on George Bush's Air Force One, there damn sure ain't no honor bar.
Well,
sorry, that one just happened.
Yeah, before he got to where the Fox River empties into Green Bay, I'm sorry, his ass went down the aisle for a couple of them cute little bottles.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt. He was loaded.
He's wasted all the time. I mean, look, they couldn't even fix it on the transcript page. I was sitting here following the audio with the White House transcript, David. The American people need to know we live in a dangerous world, but our government will do everything we can to protect our people. Our government will protect our people, and we are the queen. Woo!
It's just a matter of time until he starts pecking on the earpiece to make sure he can hear it.
What's that? What's that?
What's that, Fred? Tell me that one again. Oh, shit. Oops, sorry about that.
Yep.
Jesus. Dadgummit. Long time I haven't done that. Anyway.
That's okay.
You know, he's just going to look at that camera and say, "We're not rolling, are we?" And said, "Oh, wait a minute. I don't recognize those folks out there. This is live, isn't it?" But I want to take a minor issue with you regarding this business of threat. There's this, you know.
Okay, so I didn't.
You and I will get to the same page before
okay.
It's over.
All right.
I took it from what you did in the first 15 that there may be no threat at all, that this all may be hokum, that the whole thing may be ginned up.
Well, I'm suspicious of that anymore. I mean, five dudes playing basketball on a corner in Liberty City in Miami suddenly turn into a plot to blow up the Sears Tower.
Like, I'm not suspicious.
You
know, Bob, just because you and I are paranoid doesn't mean they aren't really after it.
Well, I understand that. And Ben, you know, you missed the 15 to 30 part. Ben did a good job of saying, look, there may be real threats out there. Because we have certainly done enough to create those threats.
Where I'm coming from, because the last thing I heard Ben say was something I know a tiny bit about. And I heard him say the word binary explosive.
Mm-hmm.
I know just enough about this to maybe point somebody toward the knob on the door they ought to open. And I'll tell you where this is headed in just a little bit. If you are the SWAT's bomb disarmament, handle it all, oh lordy, you know, go get the guys in the black suits with the hoods and the visors and all the rest.
And the warning Will Robinson suit and the.
Exactly. You know, the waddle squad. The guys that can't walk but will be the only ones left standing if the thing does indeed blow up.
Yeah, those guys.
You know, you always hear these things, blah, 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 briefcase, blah, Los Angeles airport, blah, 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 was destroyed by the bomb disposal. The way they dispose of those things, Bob, is through binary explosives. You've got a liquid in one jar that wouldn't hurt you no matter what you did to it unless you drank a quart. You've got another liquid in another jar, same deal. If you carefully mix them up and then you do almost anything next to it, you can mix it in the right proportion that a drugstore disposable camera flash can set it off.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there was no, I don't think there was an absence of threat. I'm perfectly willing to believe that the Bush administration could cause Tony the Poodle to send 20 people to the airport with the constituent ingredients, the binary A and the binary B, and the thing to make it all go clap and explode. The whole thing could have been put together for that reason. They had 48 hours from the time Uncle Carl said, don't worry, leave the feed, we'll take care of you. You know, the boss is on the case. You know, so you and I are on the same page, slightly different arrangement.
I understand. There may be threats out there. God knows when you blow up a man's entire family and he holds his legless baby's corpse in his arm, you know, as has happened, 50,000, 100,000 times in Iraq alone, never mind Lebanon. That's a whole different crop of people who hate us now.
Is there a better way to motivate that man and any living relative that's downstream of that film?
Well, he is in MBA terminology. George probably heard this one whacked out of his mind day at Harvard. He is that man who has had his family killed out from under him is highly motivated.
He has nothing else on his mind. If he can do anything that he thinks, even through third parties, strike back at those that did that to him and his, he will do it. He will recruit more to do it. Before he does his thing, we don't realize that once a suicide bomber has made that decision, it's not like you make that decision and 15 days later you go up and, you become pink mist. Oh, no. It typically takes 2 years because that highly motivated, convinced individual has a chance to talk to others that are sitting on the fence. That's the way it works.
Yes, it does.
And we give them all the necessary openings for anytime they cold call on a 17-year-old kid playing soccer in an alley, hey, kid. Lost a relative lately? Oh, you have. How many? Oh, your little sister? Blind for life? Oh, and then she died. We want to do anything about that kid? Let's go to the mosque and pray about it.
Yep. The first one's free.
Exactly.
And, your sister died, but your mama's still there and she's wallowing in grief. Here's $100. Go buy some groceries, kid. You need groceries. You guys got to live. Your sister's gone. You got to live. Just remember, the Islamic Resistance to America, or Hezbollah, or Hamas, or the Islamic American Resistance, we gave you the money because we care.
Just please remember the people that hate the Americans fed you for this month. Well, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing.
And see, it's not easy, David. And that's one of the things. You know, maybe I get under people's skin talking about this kind of thing. I don't mean to. This is an intervention. This is an awakening. This is the wet washcloth on the little cold water on the back of the neck and the code, General. The American people walk around saying, we are the most good, decent human beings on the face of the earth. And most of them are, David.
The guys walking around Florence, Alabama. The guys walking around most of Nashville. The guys walking around Columbia, Tennessee. Columbia, Missouri. Most of Butte, Montana. Great folks. But we have this tiny, ugly, just knot, evil, cancerous knot at the very top. Misdirecting, lying, misdirecting this entire nation. So all of us will take it.
Well, I mean, dear leader, he worked it in there, David. He worked it in there because there are still people that still plot and people who want to harm us. Well, actually, I'm reading this wrong. You got to do this so, like the things in your ear. Obviously, we're still not completely safe, because there are people that still plot and people who want to harm us
Wait, I know this one. For what we believe in. See, I didn't even need the thing in my ear. For what we believe in. They want to harm us for what we believe in.
Straighten your tie, Mr. President.
Yeah, I tell you, it's tough. No respect.
Exactly. Well, I wanted to come from a slightly different direction because I personally think because it's English and because of what they want out of their own system, which I think in many cases functions as well or better than ours, there are going to be some guys that are going to be in the dock, not necessarily in the Old Bailey, there's not enough security there. There's going to be some guys in the dock and there's going to be material produced. But if anybody thinks it could not have been arranged by George Bush, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Blackwater. Please don't forget we have...
Don't forget Lieberman. You know, the boss says if you need anything, just yell. We want to help however we can.
Oh, yeah. And he wouldn't be above scratching a back if somebody needed...
Oh, and you think Lieberman won't come out if he hasn't already in a day or so? America is very vulnerable. And this proves that my position of bipartisan support for the president has been right all along. We cannot cut and run as my opponent. No. Now, see, that's the thing. Lieberman doesn't get to say my opponent anymore. He's not his opponent. He's the guy who whipped his ass. And Lieberman is the guy who refuses to play by the rules. But, yeah, this inures to Joe Lieberman's benefit.
I've got to go. Your conjecture about what Lieberman may say, you know, I'm not sure my dinner is
going to be. Now, see, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm speculating. I ought not do that. I'll wait till he says it.
I don't think
not yelling at you. Not yelling at you, David. Not yelling at you.
No, you're not going to have to wait very long, Bob. I mean, for all I know, it's called a president. He could be saying the words right now.
Yep.
Well, I need to get off. I'm going to leave room. I've had my 15 minutes of, you know, just utter joy. Now that I'm going to look out the window and see how many...
I don't know how you're going to get through the rest of the night, David.
I'm just going to try. I hope the weather doesn't prevent me. You know, I'm a Bobaholic, and the whole world knows it.
So. Take care, David.
See you later.
Bye now. All right, Gene calling from Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
I'm okay. You okay?
I'm glad. Well, I've got kind of a little different take on it from either Ben or Dave, David. And this is how I look at it. You know, I don't really care one way or the other whether it was a real attack or not. What I worry about is, and maybe I'm being paranoid and tinfoily and all that stuff, but I'm just feeling like they've put this thing out here saying, oh, there's this attack, and we foiled it. And yeah, nobody's really buying it now, but I'm just waiting for the day when they let something slip by, and they will let it slip. And use that for the excuse to...
Well, this is the setup, Gene. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah, because then you get the speech, you know, they'll bring Dick Cheney off of life support or out of the coffin or whatever it is, bring him up out of the bunker, and he'll say, well, the problem is that we have to be right all the time. The terrorists only have to be right once, and sadly, God bless America, they were right today. And bang, there it is. You know, no, this is set up. This is the front end. This isn't the punchline of the joke, Gene.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it's like I feel like you know, we're all just kind of sitting by waiting for that knock on the door that says, okay, we've got to go ahead and got to send you to this place or that place. And
yeah, somewhere outside Elmendorf in Alaska, or maybe that railroad station in Indiana.
Yeah, and I was listening to the guy James earlier, and he was talking about somebody on this perspectives.com website, which I guess they were a rabid right winger, and basically said, well, any liberal, they're all a terrorist supporter, and we need to make sure we have more babies than they do, and all this jazz. It just really drives me up to when it scares the crap out of me when I hear that.
Yeah, breeding for the Reich.
Yeah.
Like I said with Ben, you know, these guys have been reading the book.
Yeah.
And it is terrifying. I mean, if there's terror to be had,
I mean, this is terrifying you and me and other progressive, intelligent people in ways that they did not intend it. Because we were supposed to be scared of brown people with a bottle of hand lotion. But instead, it reinforces the fact that if there's anybody to be scared of on planet Earth, it's that jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, that guy scares me to death, and it's like, geez, what can we do, you know, besides what we've been doing, the emails and the lobby and stuff like that, but what can we do to contain you? And you're probably right. They're probably more scared of us than we are of them right now. But when they're scared is when they act crazy, and I feel like that's when we really gotta worry. So
the most dangerous rabid animal is the rabid animal that you have in a corner.
Yeah.
And these guys are rabid.
Oh yeah.
And they're getting pinched and they're getting pressed. And you know the concomitant story today, Gene, about the rewrite of the 1996 terrorism and or war crimes law that the Republican Congress passed because they were hoping to get to use it on Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Well, now they've got it there. It's staring them in the eyes. Gonzalez understands. Ashcroft in his retirement understands. Cheney understands that all of these suckers are on the hook, not for some war crime, not for some vague war crimes trial that lasts 15 years in The Hague, but a war crimes trial that happens right here in the United States in front of a federal judge. There's a reason for all of this. None of this happens for no reason.
Yeah. And it just, I want it to be, it's like waiting to vomit. It's like you don't want to vomit, but you kind of feel like you, like, just get out of the way.
Yeah, that little tingling in the back of your jaw. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is, I'm speculating again, and I'm ashamed of myself for doing it, but it's impossible not to guess at what these monsters would have at next, Gene.
Yeah.
If it is deemed, especially in light of the torture debate and the war crimes legislation debate, if it is deemed necessary, we will hear in the next couple of days from Downing Street via the White House that the only way that the information could be gathered about this the hand lotion plot, the KY jelly plot, if you will,
yeah,
was by torturing the people who finally, under torture, gave up the information. Now, would you bet against that?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't at all.
And isn't it just sick to be to think that the government of the United States or of the United Kingdom would engage in something like that?
Yeah, it is. I would imagine. You know, now that you mention it, I don't think I'd bet against it, but I'd have to wonder about the rest of Europe, what they would be thinking about England right now, and if that came out.
Well, unfortunately, England, the UK, is seen as a rogue state partner to the United States in this. The only hope that the rest of Europe has is that the people of the United Kingdom will rise up and demand accountability, as they have been doing from time to time. There was a great stink over the Federal Express shipment of bombs and fuel to Israel that had to be diverted and landed in Scotland in secret, in violation of both UK airspace and UK landing law.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something to hope for there, Gene.
Thank goodness.
Got to have a little something, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I'll catch you later.
All right. Thanks, Gene. Take care.
Sure.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our good friend Gene in Oregon. Wait, yeah. I know. I have that feeling all the time. The latest, you know, the latest pronouncement from the Bush White House, and that impending sense of this is going to be really nasty, right at the back of your throat and tingling in the hinge of your jaw, and you know, just know it's going to make you puke. All the time, since January 2001, when we lost our government. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head-On Radio Network.
Let me love and steal
This is the Quality News Network. British authorities have unveiled a plot that, if carried out, would have rivaled 9/11. The suspects reportedly plan to use explosives disguised as drinks and other liquids to blow up 10 U.S.-bound jets in midair. Officials in Britain and Pakistan have rounded up dozens of suspects believed to have been involved in the plot, which was reportedly in its final planning stages. The targeted airlines are American, United, and Continental. Terror alert levels have been raised to red between the two countries. All U.S. airlines are banning any liquids, including lotions, gels, shampoo, and toothpaste, from carry-on luggage. National Guard troops have been deployed to airports across the country. Heightened security could last for up to 3 days. After the plot was revealed, President Bush stated that it was part of a, quote, war with Islamic fascists, end quote. U.S. Muslim groups later criticized Mr. Bush's terminology, saying it would exacerbate anti-Muslim sentiment. At the United Nations, the U.S. and France have agreed on the main points of a resolution to end clashes between Israel and Hezbollah. A vote on the resolution could come tomorrow. Meanwhile, in Beirut, Israeli strikes have hit the heart of the city. Leaflets were dropped warning residents to evacuate. CNN reports strikes in the heart of the city hit a cell phone tower. Hezbollah fired more than 100 rockets into Israel today, killing 2 civilians. Israeli forces have also taken over a largely Christian town in southern Lebanon, where officials say Hezbollah rockets were fired. But a planned push north is being delayed to give the UN more time to work out a resolution. The UN says it's still not being allowed to enter southern Lebanon with humanitarian aid. Meanwhile, officials say hospitals are running out of food, medicine, and fuel. In Iraq, 35 people were killed and nearly 100 wounded by a suicide bomb near a Shia shrine in the southern city of Najaf. Today, the Security Council extended the UN peacekeeping mission there for another year. In Afghanistan, 2 people were killed today in a roadside bombing in Jalalabad during a U.S. general's visit to an American base. A U.S. sailor from Oregon has been charged with espionage and now faces a court-martial. The Navy says a 21-year-old petty officer stole a laptop containing classified information and tried to sell it to foreign governments. And in Florida, officials say a laptop containing personal information on 133,000 Floridians was stolen late last month. You're listening to QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
British Petroleum says it will cost $100 million to repair the corroded pipeline that was shut down this week. BP posted a net profit of $7.3 billion in the last fiscal quarter. The Commerce Department reports the U.S. trade deficit was down 0.3% in June. Officials credit high sales of farm products and other exports, which helped make up for high oil prices. But the deficit is still the fifth highest ever. Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered all of Russia's museums to be inventoried. That follows the recent theft of $5 million worth of artwork from a museum in St. Petersburg. IBM has announced it's buying FileNet, a provider of business process and content management software. The deal is worth $1.6 billion. Kaiser Permanente, the nation's largest HMO, has agreed to pay a fine of $2 million to the state of California. Regulators found its kidney transplant program endangered hundreds of patients. General Motors plans to begin selling its revamped Camaro muscle car in 2009. Company officials say production will begin at the end of next year. New Jersey has the highest property taxes in the U.S. According to the New York Times, the average property owner pays about $6,000 each year in property taxes. Light sweet crude settled today at $74. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 48 points, NASDAQ up 11, S&P 500 up 6. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Indeed, indeed, you are. Your Thursday, my Tuesday. Sunday's going to be very confusing. I'm Bob Kincaid, and, well, I kind of hate to spend the evening on the great big KY jelly terrorism plot, but it sort of ties together with so many other things. What I did was pure speculation with regard to Joe Lieberman trying to capitalize on this. Has he already done it? That's the question. Has he already said it? Did he say anything yesterday before this broke? Because remember, the front end, that was the CNN coverage of Dear Leader's arrival in Green Bay when he marched off the plane and you never saw the picture of his back with the little box. When the talking head, commenting as he walked to the podium, that the president had discussions with Tony Blair over the weekend in which they discussed this breaking terror plot. Really? The devil, you say? And they held it till Thursday. How about that? Why would you do something like that? Well, I've got an email from our good friend Rick in Texas. I don't believe in the plot to blow up American planes over the Atlantic. It stinks of Rove, and it is right on time for the November election. Hell, the level's already up to red. This is Bushit. And it will go away as soon as the election is over. Rick writes, Bushit, 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 Bushit. Yeah, Rick, I think you're right. Meanwhile, our good friend Sue from Big Coal River checks in and says, they admitted on CNN today, Bob, that the terrorists had not perfected this technique yet. So why, if they haven't perfected it, did they go crazy and make airline passengers start disposing of their hand cream? Because they want to scare people into thinking our government is on the ball, warding off the boogeyman, the terrorists. It might raise his popularity a couple of points if we have to look under our beds at night for the boogeyman. You know, it gives me hope. Sitting here in my little holler, it gives me hope to hear people from all over the country call in and say, I'm not buying it. I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to be conned. I'm going to live my life. And I know better to think that some grandmother with a tube of Jergens is going to blow up a plane. It's possible that some level of this plot existed. But the mere fact that they brought it, see, they're sort of in a Hobson's choice situation, the wing nuts are, and the Bush fascists, and the Blair fascists. They're stuck between Scylla and Charybdis. Because on the one hand, they've been roundly criticized for making crap up and getting stuff wrong. And trying to scare the American people and in the UK, the British people, for no reason other than political gain. They've been roundly criticized for that. There weren't any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. None. Zero. Zip. I don't care what fetus boy Santorum says. Because, you know, he's the third craziest Republican in the Senate. And therefore, if Santorum is speaking, Santorum is lying. Like all these other religion industry fiends. He's a liar. And so, no. No weapons of mass destruction, no chemical weapons, no binary chemical weapons. And yet we've, so they're in a spot. They've been proven to be roundly and soundly incompetent. Don Rumsfeld sat in front of Hillary Clinton last week and said, you'd have a dickens of a time finding where I said this was going to be a rosy outcome. And then, you know, within 24 hours, there's, you know, there's the quote from Donald Rumsfeld saying they're going to be, you know, they're going to fly kites and greet him with flowers in Iraq when we liberate him from the brutal dictator who kills his own people. They're incompetent, they're fools, they're boobs, they're idiots, and they're dangerous. So they've got to have something, because all they've been able to run on... I mean, remember, George Bush didn't have any of this to run on in 2000, and he lost the election! By several thousand votes. He lost the popular election. And that was when he was running around around the country campaigning on the economy's going too fast. Yeah, we got to have a tax cut to cool it off. Got to cool it off. And he lost. And he brazened it out. I hit the trifecta. All he's had is terror and death and misery and fear and despair to run on. How this nation has turned from a time when a brash and bold young nation looked, well, youngish, younger, looked forward from the depths of despair and listened to a brilliant man tell them we have nothing to fear but fear itself. To a time, what, 70 years later? When a pig-eared, jug-eyed little lout looks at the American people and says, we have nothing but fear itself. So they had to do something. The story about the ex post facto excusing of torture legislation that is being contemplated deserves more time than I have certainly given it this evening. Legislation that would excuse George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condi Rice, Rummy, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Negroponte, on and on and on. You know, all the people who have made the torture happen. Because, by God, the people who actually did the torture, they're going to prison. This is not a proposed bill about letting Charles Grainer and Lindy England out of prison, you understand. This is a bill about saving George Bush's worthless hide. So that they can end their time in office and go off and live happy little lives drinking up all the reserved blood that they've saved up for that day. God Almighty. It all weaves together. It comes together piece by piece by piece. And we may very well be the last best hope of this nation. Because we are the ones who don't buy it, aren't buying it, and here's the critical part, might have enough spine and stern stuff from our forebears to stand up and look at other people and say, this is garbage. That's when it matters. That's what matters about all of this. Yes, you know it's a fraud. What you got to do is talk to other people and say it's a fraud to them. And do it cogently. Remember, why would they ban all fluids except baby formula? Isn't that an invitation for the tourists to make explosives that look like baby formula? Isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Good. Real good. You know, what you're talking about is so interesting because you know, what that all leads to is their greatest crime. In all their shenanigans, the whole sum of it comes up to their greatest crime, and that is the majority of the people in this country no longer trust their government. They can no longer trust them. They can't even trust them to tell them the truth about, is this thing for real or did you just make it up because your polls are falling and Lieberman lost and you see an opportunity to exploit us?
It gives me no joy to point this stuff out, Wayne.
No, but Bob, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, they've lied to us about everything. I mean, absolutely everything. You know, you played that thing of Tony Snow where he said one thing and, I don't know, was it 20 seconds?
Yeah.
He denied saying it.
Yeah.
Or using those words or something. So, I mean, how can you trust them? Everybody ought to be doubting this stuff. And that's not good because, you know, like a couple of callers have pointed out, there is a real threat.
Well, look, I mean, you can't help but pay attention to this stuff, Wayne. The day after the Senate Democrats brought up the vote to pull out of Iraq, it was the day after that we got the disaffected Muslim youths in Miami who were going to blow up the Sears Tower. The next day, Wayne. Next day. Then they busted some guys plotting to blow up the New York subway a year to the day after the London bus bombings?
Yeah, but they knew about it 2 years before or something.
Oh, yeah, it goes on. These things are all trackable.
Exactly. And, well, I think you bring up very good points. I think people, you know, if people aren't thinking about that, they damn well ought to be. Because these people can't be trusted. They just can't be trusted.
But you know what? I'm kind of ashamed. I feel like I'm being suckered, Wayne. Because you know what? There's other stuff out there that
more
we should...
likely because you're being suckered, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sitting. Yeah.
I don't know what other conclusion to come to.
Well, I mean, what I'm getting at here is there's other stuff that really matters.
There's a lot of stuff that really matters.
Yeah, I mean, the legislation with the torture business. Do we really want to, you know, do we want to put our name as the people of the United States on a bill that sanctions torture?
Well, yeah. Listen, aren't they pushing something to change the war crimes?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
You know, that's and it's so funny and so ironic to me because it really was, Wayne. It was passed in 1996 when Bill Clinton was president because they were hoping to charge him with war crimes. And now
we want to change it.
Now we want to change it.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, we don't like the rules when they apply to us.
96, where were we? Did the Republicans have the House? Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they'd had it for 2 years.
90, yeah. Newt was, what was his shining star, 94?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the revolution.
Yeah, right. The ruinization.
You know, it was, Wayne, Dick Cheney came right out and said that Joe Lieberman losing would make us less safe because it would please the terrorists because the terrorists were behind Ned Lamont. He really, really honest to Jesus said that. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but it's the kind of thing that makes me want to kick things. Just put my foot right. I can't believe that these people would do this.
Well, and, you know, I mean, but the whole secret is that more and more people start to feel like we do. And I think they're going to. I think they are. I think that happened in the Lieberman thing. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. Well, you know, you might have a chance as an independent because all, you know, there's more independents. Well, guess what? The independents don't like the war either.
No, they're 65 to 35 against the war.
Right. So where do you think you're going to get votes there, Joe?
Well, Joe's going to get 35% of the independents, and he thinks he's going to get all of the Republicans and half of the Democrats. And these people are psychos, Wayne.
Well, he's going to end up making a fool out of himself is what he's doing.
Joe Lieberman.
He's doing a pretty good job of that right now.
Yeah, he is, but you got to dig where his poor little mind is. This is the guy who invented Joe Mandum. Okay, thought he was the front runner in 2004. This guy actually thinks he's not only going to beat Ned Lamont in November, he thinks he's going to stomp him and humiliate him.
Well, but see, and there's another problem too that somehow we have to translate to our legislators and our senators is just because you got it a couple of times doesn't mean it's yours forever.
And David.
And I mean, I'm not a term limit guy because I think we have term limits.
And they just
every
imposed
4 years. Or
they
whatever.
Just imposed a term limit in Connecticut.
They did.
Yeah, on Joe Lieberman.
Oh yeah, they did. That's exactly right.
And welcome to your term limit,
term
Joe.
Term limit should be applied.
We just limited your term.
That's exactly right. What the hell's wrong with that? He was probably for that.
The voters have spoken.
Ah, God.
You know, this is an act of political hubris that I find astonishing, Wayne. I mean, I can't. I mean, this is Mussolini stuff. You know, I'm not going to leave just because you voted me out.
Right.
You know, it makes me wonder what the hell's going to happen on January the 20th, 2009.
Well, didn't what's his name at night there, the Daily Show guy?
Yeah,
do
John
that
Stewart?
Thing where Lieberman says, you know, I don't know, if not chosen, I will run. If I'm a runner,
yeah, exactly.
If not elected, I will serve.
Right. Right. And what was the follow up to that? That if he's not elected, he's going to start his own independent Senate and be his own independent Senate majority leader.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Jiminy. And the thing is that, you know, that's only funny because it seems so incredibly possible. And again, what is dear leader going to do when it's time for him to step down? I mean, I think it's time for us to start legitimately asking that question, Wayne.
Well, I do too. And you know, like, well, you played Bush getting off the airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can imagine in their, martial law. I mean, you know, I'm telling you, these people are scared, and we got to be prepared because they're going to try some nasty stuff.
I mean, I'm beginning to wonder if we had better be prepared for January the 21st, 2009. To have thousands upon thousands of people in the streets of Washington, D.C., in case he decides he ain't going.
Well, he's going to pull a Lieberman. He's going to pull a Lieberman. But remind you, when you're saying about being prepared, now, I don't know, I guess I could have missed him. But tonight, coming home, I heard an ad about, you know, what to do in case of a terrorist attack. You should know where every... Now, did they just start playing them, or have I been missing them?
No, I think it may have been out there for a while, but it's probably gone into somebody's rotation at some right-wing radio station.
Well, listen, I would bet you'll see a... Those commercials will start being heard all over the country.
Brought to you by the Department of Homeland Security.
Exactly. Now, who's that bald dude they got now?
Skeletor.
Yeah.
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 Michael.
I think that's his name, too.
Yeah, Michael Chertoff.
Same thing.
Yeah. Creepy dude.
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, the guy's got no color. He doesn't show up in mirrors, Wayne.
I wouldn't doubt that, Bob.
You ever seen him next to a mirror? Any pictures ever taken of Michael Chertoff next to a mirror? Hell no. No.
As a matter of fact, the last time I was with him.
Yeah, and you woke up the next day and you had those two little puncture wounds on your neck.
There you
and
go.
Not feeling so good since then.
But I don't know. I'm still, you know, I'm telling you, this. We got to watch these people. I'm still encouraged, though.
I mean, too.
I think they're really, they're really becoming absurd.
Well, there is, I mean, there's
you know
a,
I mean?
Yeah, they are, but there is a lesson, and I think I've mentioned it before. When the other side is in retreat, you know, full-scale, broken-up, running-away retreat, you don't sit back and say, well, we have taken the day. Anybody familiar with Civil War history knows that there were a couple of times, and I'm not saying anything about the causes of the South, but the Southern Army had an opportunity to run down the Yankee Army and destroy it.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Right.
And when you do not pursue an enemy in retreat and utterly destroy that enemy, you create the opportunity for that enemy to rise up again. The classic political example, Wayne, is the aftermath of Watergate. We ran Richard Nixon out of office and sat back and, you know, and did the little Jack Horner thing. Sat in a corner and stuck and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I.
Right.
Meanwhile, they went off and you know, 5 years later, you're seeing Republicans walk around with T-shirts with Nixon's face that say, tanned, rested, and ready.
Yep.
We didn't destroy them when we had a chance. We are going to have another chance to utterly destroy the Republican Party. And if we do not finally do it, we do not deserve the good memories or the good opinion of our posterity.
Well, I think Charlie Rangel kind of laid it on the line for that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. I admire him for that, too. I admire him for that.
You know, I admire Democrats who are finally standing up and pointing to the Republican Party and saying things like, they are evil.
Couldn't have said a truer thing. Couldn't have said a truer thing.
And the sooner that all Democrats start doing it, the better off we'll be. And, we'll find out real quick who the go-along get-alongs are.
And, you know, and for those Republicans who don't consider themselves evil, maybe you're not. But why don't you take a good look at your party?
Yeah.
And switch.
And if you find your party doing evil, stop being evil.
Right. And so just don't be with them.
Because it rubs off real easy.
So.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged, I think. But like I say, I don't know what these people are going to pull. You know, this whole Middle East thing, I mean, they want to attack Iran. They want an excuse to attack Iran so bad, buddy. And I'm scared to death they're going to come up with one.
Well, it was there in the big yellow headline from CNN yesterday when I logged in. 15 bodies found dead in Lebanon. 15 dead Iranian bodies found dead in Lebanon.
One.
Yeah.
I saw that.
You know, what do you think that's about?
I know exactly what it's about. I just want the rest of the people to start realizing and looking at what they're doing. I mean, they are totally
killers.
I can't trust them. They will never tell the truth.
They will. No.
That's just all there is to it.
I mean, not with a set of jumper cables attached would they tell the truth.
No, they wouldn't. They're incapable.
Yeah, see, because it's not that I'm lying. It's that, you know, that's a terrorist battery over there.
Yeah.
I know. But I only use that example because Alberto Gonzalez said it's okay to do that.
Yes. What is it, or as long as it doesn't cause organ failure?
Organ failure or death.
Or death. Then it's not torture.
What do you say about babies,
though? I hope he remembers them rules.
I know. You know, I'd be happy for him to be in a little orange jumpsuit in Leavenworth making big rocks into little rocks, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, me either. You know, I don't really wish him a whole bunch of bad will. I just want him confined.
To where he can do no further harm.
Exactly. And you have to stay there forever.
Right. No getting out. No tanned, rested, and ready for you,
Nothing
Alberta.
Like that. No.
All right. Thanks, Wayne.
All right, buddy.
Later.
Bye.
Bye now. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Whatever's on your mind is welcome. Because this is another, like I said, this is another one of those moments where, as the novelist Tom Robbins once put it, everything is part of it. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Delphi's workers will get their chance to aggressively make their case against allowing the giant auto parts maker to cancel their contracts today. The United Auto Workers, IUE, CWA, and Delphi are scheduled to be in bankruptcy court in New York today for a hearing. Delphi is insisting on harsh wage and benefits cuts for workers that remain after some 12,600 of its workers accepted buyouts and early retirement. Delphi, the UAW, the IUE, CWA, and GM are all trying to reach an agreement. The union's members have authorized a strike if the contracts are destroyed by the court. GM says resolving the Delphi situation is its top priority right now. The unions say Delphi has no justifiable need to void the contracts now that so many union workers are leaving the company. Delphi wants to close most of its North American plants so it can make its parts using cheap labor in China, Mexico, and other nations. The horrific Israeli bombing of civilians in Lebanon is prompting the New Orleans-based Common Ground Critical Response to send an initial small team of rescue relief workers to set up a humanitarian relief effort for Lebanese victims. Brandon Darby of Common Ground Critical Response says his group did similar work after Katrina, and he says the world has a responsibility to help the innocent Lebanese bombing victims.
The issue is a civilian population. An 8-year-old child trapped beneath rubble is not a terrorist. Powerful men with machine guns fighting each other. That does not exempt the rest of us, the rest of humanity, from their responsibilities to make sure that children receive medical care, food, and water.
Israeli civilians have been killed as well by Hezbollah attacks, but reports so far show that Israel has killed more than 7 times the number of civilians killed by Hezbollah. Mexico's Federal Labor Board is allowing copper mining company Grupo Mexico to fire all 1,400 of its striking mine workers. Jesse Russell has the story.
Workers in Mexico are fighting to roll back economic reforms that have sought to gut worker rights. David Bacon, labor journalist and author of the book The Children of NAFTA, said the victory of conservative presidential candidate Felipe Calderon empowered the company and labor board to move forward with a decision to break the mine workers' union in Mexico.
Labor Board, which is under the control of the Secretary of Labor, ruled that the miners at Nacozari, all 1,400 of them, had abandoned their jobs, and therefore that Grupo Mexico could close down the mine, fire its workforce, and open up with a whole new workforce with no union.
Bacon said the situation with the mine workers is being closely watched by other labor unions in Mexico.
A test, see whether workers are really going to be able to protect and to maintain the rights that they've had in Mexico, or whether the Fox administration, and now there's new Felipe Calderon administration, whether they're going to be able to essentially roll back workers' rights a long, long, long ways.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The Homeland Security Advisory System is designed to provide warnings as the risk of terrorist acts increases. If the severe condition signified in red is declared, it's recommended that you avoid public gathering places or other high-profile locations. Public transportation may be impacted, and non-essential public and government facilities may be closed. Go to the Homeland Security website at www.dhs.gov for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida broadcasters, and this radio station.
Alrighty then. Halfway done on this Thursday night. I'm Bob. This is Head On. And let's go straight to the phones. Jim joins us from a remote undisclosed location. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
Oh, okay, I guess. Just a few things. I've just been sort of thinking out loud today when I first turned on the television and saw about the problems over at Heathrow and I guess Croydon and all the other airports in the United Kingdom, plus the ones that are going to be impacted by this on our own soil. But it just another election season, and I guess it officially began with Lieberman, Juan Paul, up in Connecticut, that now we have something that's happening to enhance, amplify, and to foster a climate of fear. And I don't know if that has... I'm just not sure if... Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know if we're being hoodwinked or not, or things are being told that shouldn't be told, and not told that should be told. And, it gives me cause for great concern.
It should, because there is every possibility that this world is absolutely chock full now after more than 100,000 U.S.-created civilian deaths in Iraq and the carnage in Lebanon. There is absolutely every possibility that this world is absolutely crawling, Jim, with people who would like to get back at us. You know, vengeance for what we've done to them already.
Well,
but
now President Bush, of course, and when he was the only veto that he cast was against stem cell research, which I guess was his way of trying to tell certain factions of his party that he supports and respects life.
Well, that he's still among the faithful, yeah.
Well, but what I'm trying to say is, how could a man who supports life and respects it have done what he did when he was governor? I mean, how many death warrants did this man sign?
No, he was the killingest governor in the history of Texas.
And after he became president, under whatever circumstances, back in 2000, back again in 2004, how many more death warrants, in quotation marks, have been signed on the military and the civilian side of the house? We're talking about the Iraqis and our own people, and now, you know, this policy with Israel is something gives me cause for concern, because, you know, I wouldn't give anybody my checkbook. I wouldn't give anybody my credit card.
No.
And I feel that we had basically given Israel our credit card, our blank check. And I've said this on the air before, and you probably heard it, but I think it's a good example. The Kaiser made the same mistake with Francis Joseph in World War I when he did this with the Austro-Hungarian Empire after the assassination of the Archduke. And between June 28th of 1914 and August 4th of the same year, it went from a localized thing in Sarajevo to a fully-blown full world war. And I just don't think that these people really are, our people, to most of a certain extent, are really sincere about sitting down at the peace table. I think they're more or less sitting down at some type of gaming table in which the game is not Kim and Desair or poker, but it's really, quite frankly, becoming Russian roulette.
Yeah. I take no issue with what you say whatsoever, Jim. They're doing everything they can to stop, I guess what? Today was supposed to be, this sort of went down the memory hole because I didn't see it all day. Someone can alert me otherwise. But there was supposed to be a vote scheduled today at the UN on a ceasefire resolution with regard to Israel and Lebanon. Somehow I missed the coverage of that, Jim, because it was 24 hours a day. It was 24-hour coverage of the great KY jelly bomb plot.
Well, it seems as though something conveniently rares its head to throw a shoe into the machine works. You know?
Yeah. Well, unless we make the mistake of thinking otherwise, the British press and the British people are equally manipulated because the Guardian over in the UK, a good paper, notes that, and this is a quote from an article there. The events unfolded, talking about the terror plot, the events unfolded just hours after UK Home Secretary John Reid used a speech to a think tank to accuse critics of the government's anti-terrorism measures of putting national security at risk through their failure to recognize the serious nature of the threat facing Britain. So, it's a twofer.
Well, you know, to a certain extent, and this here again, I'm just thinking out loud, and sometimes that can be very dangerous, but just thinking out loud, I can, so I hope I still can do that and verbalize what my thoughts are. But there's a certain symbiosis between Al-Qaeda and the neocons and Bush's administration. They sort of both keep each other in business, if you know what I mean.
Well, and in when it comes right down to it, it was the Republicans who created Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda was born in the Mujahideen, funded by the CIA, that were fighting the Soviet occupation. And we thought they were neater than sliced bread back when they were doing that. And Ronald Reagan referred to them as freedom fighters.
Oh, I know. But like I say, I mean, these organizations, they basically keep one another in business. I mean, where would the Bush administration be without all this business that has happened since he became president? Starting in 2001.
Well, he wouldn't have made it past 2004, Jim.
Well, I wouldn't think so, but that gave him a reason for being. And the other day, I think one of your callers was talking about thermite, and I was looking that up. And of course, someone said they found traces of thermite in the wreckage of a World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an aluminum iron oxide type of explosive. But it takes a lot of heat to get that thing going. And it can be exploded in one or two ways, either with an acetylene torch or magnesium. And magnesium is a metal that when it starts burning, you can't put it out. It burns underwater.
Yeah.
And it's like phosphorus.
I've played with magnesium, yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, you just don't know what to think anymore. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I don't have any accusations to make, and I don't have any answers to give. But I sure as hell have a lot of questions.
Well, sure you do, and you know that gut feeling when you feel like you're being manipulated.
Yeah, and I don't like it, because, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not the stupidest guy either.
Well, I'd say
somebody's trying to play three-card money with me or trying to sell me a bill of goods. You know, it's kind of like going to Shady Sam's and buying a used car.
Yeah.
And that in conjunction with some of the stuff that happened in the 2004 elections in Ohio and in North Carolina. I mean, how many votes were lost in North Carolina because they ran out of disk space?
Sure.
And when you start adding all this stuff up in your mind...
Jim, in Ohio, there were enough spoiled ballots. You know, not even counted once. There were enough spoiled ballots to push John Kerry over the top.
Yeah.
That's why the exit polls said John Kerry was going to take Ohio.
Well, all I can say is I have no answers to give. I wish I did. The only thing I have are questions, and some of the questions are giving me or leaving me with a feeling of great discomfort and disquiet.
And you have a right to feel that way because you know to a certain extent you play down your own intelligence, but you know the difference between Shinola and the other stuff. And right now, the administration, the Bush administration, is handing us a big pile of the other stuff and swearing it's Shinola.
Well, it would appear as though someone is not telling the truth, and I understand now they're trying to promulgate some type of law which will exonerate them from war crimes if, in fact, they might be accused of such if they should, shall we say, fall upon hard times. You know, I think they're trying to provide for a certain contingency, and that, too, leaves me with a great feeling of quiet and lack of certitude about a lot of things.
As well it should. The ultimate conclusion toward which I think you are progressing, Jim, is the fact that there is not a blessed thing upon this planet that you are willing to take these people at face value over. They have lost the right, I perceive in what you say, for you to give them that level of credence. And the thing is, it's becoming a national phenomenon. It gives me no pleasure, Jim, to point out the fact that I think we are being lied to and manipulated with regard to all these stupid terror warnings. There's no joy for me in that. I want to believe in and trust my government again. But this is one of the products that you get after 12 years of Reagan and Bush, and eight, 6 years of Bush too, and a concerted effort by the Republican right to tell the American people that their own government is bad and incompetent and needs to be dissolved.
Well,
Grover Norquist wasn't playing when he said that he wanted to reduce the size of the federal government until it could be drowned in a bathtub.
Well, you know, we're caught between two situations. Law, those people who have power and no law, and those people who have law and no power.
True. So, you know, the question becomes one of, How do we ride out this storm? And you know, how do we keep focused on what has to happen? We are less than 100 days away from changing everything we have just complained about. We are less than 100 days away from the November congressional elections. If we take the House and the Senate, there is going to be, I hope, I pray, an entirely different world, an entirely different culture in Washington, D.C. Because these thugs who caused the problems will be gone from the halls of Congress, Jim. And then, finally, George Bush can be held to account. There is a reason they're in a hurry to write the ex post facto law that will put the imprimatur of approval on torture. It has to happen before November 7th, or it may not happen at all. And then George Bush and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and Condi and the whole filthy lot of them will find themselves in jeopardy.
Well, but if they're successful, what they're trying to do is get themselves a get out of jail free card.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
That's basically what I think, how I perceive it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
And the thing we've got to watch moving up to November is the number of go along get alongs in that process. Now, do you think for an instant that Joe Lieberman will not vote with the Republicans to offer George Bush carte blanche on torture?
Well, I think Lieberman basically has voted within about 90% of his voting record, hasn't he?
I'm not certain what the exact percentage is, but when it mattered, he did. He was the only Democrat who came out and said, you know, this Social Security privatization thing might be a good idea. He did that.
Well, Mr. Lieberman's never going to have to spend on Social Security. He's been pretty well healed. And, of course, naturally, his effect for Israel is well known because he is, and I don't mean any disrespect by that, a member of the tribe. And, you know, that's just the way I see it. And if that offends somebody, I'm very sorry.
Well, no, see, I'll take it a step further and say out and out that Joe Lieberman is an unreconstructed racist from the other end of the spectrum.
I mean, nobody has greater sympathy and compassion for the Jewish people.
Joe Lieberman, look, me either. I mean, look, I hate racism of all forms. I think Mel Gibson is an ugly little racist.
I mean, what happened for the Jewish people in Europe between the promulgation of the Nuremberg Laws on 15 September of 1935 until it finally stopped on 8 May of 1935 to 1945? It was horrible, and
yes.
I have the greatest compassion and sympathy for the Israelis and their position there.
But by comparison, and I don't think it's unfair to make this comparison, Jim, Joe Lieberman has given a pass to everything, every awful, horrible, nightmarish thing that we have done to Arab people in Iraq. And I'm talking about the slaughter of little bitty babies. He said it's okay. But you know what? Two Israeli soldiers disappear when they sneak across the Lebanese border. And, you know, we've got to kill 700 Lebanese to get them back. And it's okay by Joe. I don't see how you can define that as anything except racism on Joe's part. Joe is a bigot and a racist and a hater of Arab people. And I hate him for that. By the same token, I hate the likes of Mel Gibson, who thinks it's all the Jews' fault. Nothing is all of anybody's fault, is it, Jim?
No, I guess it's not. Tell me, is it true that Mel Gibson's father lives in this state?
Yes, he does. Unless he's moved and I didn't know about it.
And the reason he came here now, this is just hearsay.
No, he said it himself.
There were no Jews here?
Yeah, he wanted to come to West Virginia because Jews wouldn't live here because people who live in West Virginia have to work and Jews won't work.
Well, you've answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah, this is now, Hutton Gibson is the same man who denies the existence of the Holocaust, and he also says that the Jews flew planes into the World Trade Center.
The Jewish people did this?
Yes, he said, yeah, 9/11 was an Israeli plot.
Well, you know, it would appear to me, I think the Mossad is probably the finest intelligence organization in the world. One of the finest.
They would appear to be, yeah.
And I just wonder, and here again, I'm asking questions. I'm not making accusations and statements, okay? I just wonder how something like that could have escaped their attention.
I don't know.
Those guys and the Mossad have people everywhere. And I just don't understand it.
Well, but see, there were warnings to the Bush administration. There were repeated warnings to the Bush administration that the effluvium was going to hit the fan. And the Bush administration ignored it because George Bush was on vacation in Crawford Gym. It was August the 6th, 2001. He was presented with a presidential daily briefing from the CIA that was compiled from all national intelligence sources as well as foreign intelligence passed to us. The title of the briefing was Bin Laden Determined to Strike Inside U.S. And George was on vacation, and Condi, his national security advisor at the time, later said, we paid it no mind because we thought it appeared to be a historical document.
A historical document.
That's what she called it. I mean, I'm not making stuff up here, Jim. I don't make it up as I go along. That's what she called it in testimony before Congress. It was not an imminent threat. It was an historical document.
Well, here again, your past statement, again, gives me cause for great concern and a lack of confidence that I never thought I would be hurt to have to try to rationalize and accept. Because I spent all of my life, really, with great respect, for my own government and
serving it as best your lights would allow. And I respect that service, Jim. And I know it must hurt. But in truth, what I said earlier is very much the case. In the short course of about 70 years, we have gone from a bold, brave man saying we have nothing to fear but fear itself to a little man who says we have nothing but fear. That is the upside down parabolic arc of America's demise.
Well, I think there's a verse somewhere I'm recalling it. I can't exactly where it comes from, but truly, the captains, the kings, the parties of the empire has been brought low.
It would appear that we may well be there, Jim. Thank you very kindly, and have a wonderful evening. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye now. And onward, back to David with another thought in Tennessee. David, welcome back.
Oh, Bob, it'll be perfect.
Don't apologize. Say no.
It'll you know, gee whiz, I just couldn't resist. You've been away for a day or two, and I'm just so backed up. I just had to let fly. As far as our nation and the nation of Israel, I want some listeners who, you know, I'm completely challenged when it comes to literary enterprise. You know, I can still remember and list quickly all the books I've read, but, you know, I hear references and I understand those things. The United States of America needs to move beyond the understanding of what the Middle East really means based on people my age reading Leon Uris's book, Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about time we let go of that and know that idealized fantasy of what the nation of Israel meant, means, and might mean is the truth. We have done things to make them dangerous. They have done things that they shouldn't have done. And a much more even-handed, honest, equitable approach based on people that have lived in that area for 2,500 plus years
and carried the same family names through that entire 2,500 years. We need to understand that better. We cannot simply go back to an idealized Israeli fantasy and think that's reality.
No, we can't. And, of course, you know, perspective is everything, David. And I remember one of my gripes about the retelling of the Iliad in the movie, recent movie Troy. Which
that was a mess.
Well, you know, it should have been subtitled "Guys in Skirts," but
that could have been fun.
don't.
All right.
But one of the problems was it made the Trojan War look like a 10-year instead of the 10-year nightmare that it was. It made it look like it happened in about a week and a half. They get there, they beach the boats, they storm the walls, they don't succeed. Achilles gets all pissed off and pouts for a couple of days and then comes out and kills. But, you know.
So we had MTV quick cuts on a 10-year agony.
And the thing is, David, we've got the same gig going with Israel. Because Israel has been in existence since 1948, and we think that this is something different. The kingdom of Jerusalem, and unless I'm doing my math wrong, the kingdom, the Frankish crusader kingdom of Jerusalem lasted for about 250 years. Maybe 230, maybe 200. And then it was all over. And from that time forward, the natives ruled the country again. And the natives included Jews and Muslims and Christians and, you know, various and sundry sects, ethnicities, and people. Who were subsequently conquered, but well, you know, it winds up by the time you get to World War I, it's the Ottoman Empire.
Can we say ebb and flow?
Sure. And you know, this is a repetition of history by those who were doomed to repeat it by their lack of knowledge thereof.
Precisely. Now, I've wanted badly for the last 36 hours to ask you about a fellow that you may even know about this guy. Your show loves to touch our area of the nation.
Yeah, the South.
And a man that's important to that area, our area, a Mr. Robert McCullough passed away a couple of days ago. I don't know if that name strikes any sort of chord with you.
It does, and I can't get hold of why it should. I think I read about it, and I can't pull it up right now. Help me, please.
He was just another fella. He was a part-time student in a community college because in 1961 in Rock Hill, South Carolina, he could not go to any university that mattered.
Oh, wrong color skin.
But he organized his own mind and eight other people to go to McCrory's 5 and 9 and sit down at the lunch counter.
And say, I'd like to have a Coke.
And request service. And, of course, it went where all those things went. And he was denied and he was arrested and all nine. And they became, because they all went to Friendship Junior College, they became the Friendship Nine.
Yes.
And rather than pay a $100 fine and walk, probably there were certain practicalities in not paying a $100 fine.
Like not having $100.
But out of that came the jail, no bail movement within the anti-segregation movement within the South. And this gentleman, a Mr. Robert McCullough, died a couple of days ago at age 64. He never, ever lived anywhere but the county he was born into. In Rock Hill, the town, the county seat, Rock Hill, South Carolina. And just so everybody understands how evil and disgusting the Republican Party can be. Don't I remember correctly a couple of weeks ago that the point of the spear to overturn the Voting Rights Act came from the Republicans elected out of South Carolina?
Yep.
What a disgrace the the memory of this man that wanted to stop segregation.
I'm glad you brought him up, David. I'm very glad you brought him up, because he deserves to be remembered. And it is...
He is a pioneer. His peers, those around him, called him the general. They called him, they nicknamed him Napoleon, because somewhere out of what he felt for mankind caused him to organize this situation. He didn't send off for a brochure. Nobody came by on a bus from Philadelphia.
Nope.
This guy just said, this man, this black man, said, let some of us go sit down over there and see what they'll do about it. Let's force their hand. And now then, within days of his death, the Republicans elected from his home state, a state he chose to live in for his entire life, oh, we don't need to support that voting right. Haven't we done enough for the Negroes?
Why you keep looking at the South? You know, Jeff Sessions was part of that. That's right. Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions III, of senator from Alabama. It's not, we're just tired of the world nation looking at us, because we think we've done enough for voting rights. And
well, sums it up.
Oh, you know, there's a whole rant involved, David, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it's worth remembering.
Well, when a pioneer like that passes and moves on to another place, if I have a chance, I'm going to wave my hand from the back of the room and go, excuse me just a second, how about this old boy?
Yeah. And said with much love and
much
respect.
Much love. Much admiration.
Thanks, David. It's news time. All right. Appreciate it. Bye now. Kind of ashamed of myself for not noting that passing. Thank you, David, for bringing it up. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Security measures at the nation's airports have been tightened following today's revelation that British authorities thwarted a terrorist plot. The plan to blow up 10 jets bound for the U.S. from Britain was reportedly in its final planning stages. Terror alert levels have been elevated to red. British and Pakistani officials have rounded up 27 suspects, including three in Pakistan, who were arrested earlier this week. The others, many of them of Pakistani descent, were arrested in Britain today. The suspects reportedly plan to use explosives disguised as drinks and other liquids on American, United, and Continental flights. U.S. airlines have banned all liquids, including lotions, gels, shampoo, and toothpaste, from carry-on luggage. The exceptions are baby formula and essential medicines. National Guard troops have been deployed to airports across the country. Authorities say they don't know how long the increased security steps will last. At the United Nations, the U.S. and France are reportedly close to a ceasefire agreement to end clashes between Israel and Hezbollah. The new resolution calls for the progressive withdrawal of Israeli troops. A vote is expected tomorrow. Meanwhile, Russia is circulating a draft that calls for a 72-hour cessation of hostilities. In Beirut, Israeli strikes have hit the heart of the city after residents were warned to evacuate. Hezbollah fired more than 130 rockets into Israel today, killing two civilians.
Israeli forces have also taken over a largely Christian town in southern Lebanon where officials say Hezbollah rockets were fired, but a planned push further north is being delayed. In Iraq, 35 people were killed and nearly 100 wounded today by a suicide bomb near a Shia shrine in the southern city of Najaf. Today, the Security Council extended the UN peacekeeping mission in Iraq for another year. In Afghanistan, 2 people were killed today in a roadside bombing in Jalalabad. The violence came as a U.S. general visited an American base there, but officials say they do not believe he was the target. In China, at least 2 people have been killed and nearly 20 others are missing. More than 1.5 million residents have evacuated under the threat of the biggest typhoon in 50 years. A U.S. sailor from Oregon has been charged with espionage and faces a court-martial. The Navy says the officer stole a laptop containing classified information and tried to sell it.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization...
A winning documentary called A Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
British Petroleum says it will cost $100 million to repair the corroded pipeline that was shut down earlier this week. BP posted a net profit of $7.3 billion in the last fiscal quarter. Alaska's governor has launched an investigation into possibly deceptive practices by the company. The Commerce Department reports the U.S. trade deficit was down 0.3% in June. Still, the more than $64 billion deficit is the fifth largest ever. Hewlett-Packard plans to add 2,000 jobs to its operations center in Costa Rica. The company wants to employ 6,000 workers there by 2007. First-time claims for state unemployment benefits rose by 7,000 last week to 319,000. Target and JCPenney posted better-than-expected second-quarter earnings. They partly credit high sales of food and women's accessories. ImClone shares fell 13% today. That followed news that the biotech company plans to stay independent rather than merge with another firm. IBM has announced it's buying software maker FileNet in a $1.6 billion deal. And General Motors plans to begin selling its revamped Camaro muscle car in 2009, with production starting at the end of 2007. Light sweet crude settled today at $74. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 48 points at 11,124. NASDAQ up 11 at 2072. S&P 500 up 6 at 1272. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buff.
Oh, and by the way, chemistry buffs, if it's interesting in reading the coverage, I haven't seen it named yet, but the whole plot to bring down these airliners involved mixing a peroxide gel with a British sports drink. Anybody, I mean, you know, just the other day, you know, Agnes gets a little tired. Agnes is the hardest working woman in liberal talk. And I saw at the grocery store, I saw some Tab energy drink. And, of course, you know, Tab, you know, oh, would you bring me a Tab? And I'm looking through it, you know, it's got this ene and that ene and guarana and lycopene. And what in the hell goes into a sports drink that would be reactive? I mean, do you understand the depths of the James Bond stuff these Goonies are having to go through to create this level of terror? And, of course, if, you know, I was reading the CNN account, and it says, of course, the men, when they were arrested, were looking at the internets. They were trying to buy airline tickets with similar arrival times. Well, these guys may have been for real. I'm at the same place that the villagers were with the boy who cried wolf. And the philosophical question you have to ask is, when the wolf finally did show up and he hollered wolf, wolf, where was the greater tragedy? That the boy got, you know, where was the greater loss? The boy of his life, or the village of the boy? Whew. That's high-minded stuff. But I cannot trust my government anymore, because I know that they themselves are inimical to the governmental structure that they are constitutionally bound by oath to uphold and protect. And that's what makes me it makes my head hurt. This is a betrayal on a monumental level, what they have done to my government. It's a betrayal of everything I was taught, everything I read. Yeah, sure, warts and all. This is not a lily white history, and this is far from a perfect nation. But I've always thought that the ebb and flow of our political process was such that we could correct errors. That there was enough put in place by the framers of the Constitution to save us in our time of direst peril. That's why Richard Nixon resigned. Because he was attempting to subvert the federal government to his own will. You know, and we find out later on that he used to have diluted, drug-addled, alcohol, psychosis-induced conversations with Henry Kissinger about possibly literally nuking North Vietnam. And so I get an email from our good friend Rick in Texas after my comment about my hopes for what happens and the possibility of correcting all of this miserable hell and death and damnation. And Rick writes very simply and succinctly, the problem with your hope, Bob, is you assume there will be an election. And says, if I'm right, there will be no election. Wayne noted that these are desperate people, and desperate people do desperate things. Does that qualify as desperation? Is it desperation? Would they be desperate enough to once again allow something to happen on their watch and use that as the excuse by which they once and for all put paid to the idea of a free society in this once great nation? Would they? And, of course, it's not just this. I wander around through the icky, really nasty, dark, you know, where that, like when you're in the woods and you walk through a spider web you didn't see, and you spend the next 30 yards going, and wiping off the invisible spider web. Well, that's the way I am when I'm wandering through the right wing, you know, the real, seriously creepy right wing so-called news media. And I find out today that Glenn Beck, our buddy Glenn, you know, the
even-handed presenter that was going to bring a new perspective to headline news. Yeah. I find out that Glenn Beck has predicted the end of the world on August 22nd. And that this particular date, August the 22nd, is running around the right wing as, you know, wow, you know, because, you know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said that the world will find out what Iran's position is on nuclear weapons on August the 22nd. And, you know, the weirdos get out their copy of the Nostradamus Feratu or whatever, and there's a quatrain about August the 22nd in the land of the Persian cat. Oh, and the great Persian cat shall lick itself and cough up a hairball that glows in the dark. You know, and so Glenn, you know, right-wing freak Glenn Beck is out there predicting. Jesus is coming August the 22nd. It's going to be 19,000 feet tall, and everybody's going to be able to see him, even where it's raining and there's cloud cover. This is where these people are. Be afraid. Not of some dude with a bottle of Nessiade and some hair bleach gel. That's it, Agnes, that's it. Peroxide, hair dye, gel. Roots of death. Well, okay, I got no choice. I got it. We're going to have to clear out the old bathtub on the South 40, Agnes, and see what happens when you mix Miss Clairol number 101 with Gatorade.
Your hair will turn purple.
I'm not putting it on my hair. I just want to see if it goes boom. No. Jiminy.
Hello.
Jiminy. This is just, you know, our buddy David's is so Crest Tooth Whitener and UK Gator or Nessiade. See, I stole that line. When mixed, would bring down a 767. And our good friend David has an engineering background, and he's going, huh? What? Edith? Lord. And you come back to it, you can't help but come back to it. It's just, you circle back again and again and again and again. How stupid do they think we are? Or conversely, how stupid are they? Maybe it's time. I didn't really set it up properly the first time we did it. Maybe it's time to go back to the Dear Leader CNN reportage. Listen, this is all scripted, sunshine. It's like the bad Gomer Pyle episode or whatever, where Duke is trying to get the girl and Gomer's whispering the sweet, seductive lines. You know, Cyrano de Bergerac. This is what's going on. Agnes, dear, could we go back to the Dear Leader audio, please? Just don't listen to what he's saying. Listen to the pauses. Listen to the pauses.
Minister Tony Blair, over the weekend, in fact, there was a photo released by the White House, and we were told that the discussion centered, of course, on the Middle East crisis. Now we understand that those discussions included as well talk of this investigation. And there you see now President Bush preparing to make comments there in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That our fellow citizens are now learning about are a stark reminder
2001, 2002, 2003.
That this nation is at war with Islamic fascists who will use any means to destroy those of us who love freedom, to hurt our nation. I want to thank the government of Tony Blair and officials in the United Kingdom for their good work in busting this plot. I thank the officials in Washington, D.C. and around our country who gather intelligence and who work to protect the American people. The cooperation on this venture was excellent. Cooperation between UK and US authorities and officials was solid. And the cooperation amongst agencies within our government was excellent. This country is safer than it was prior to 9/11. We've taken a lot of measures to protect the American people. But obviously we're still not completely safe, because there are people that still plot and people who want to harm us for what we believe in. It is a mistake to believe there is no threat to the United States of America. And that is why we have given our officials the tools they need to protect our people. Travelers are going to be inconvenienced as a result of the steps we've taken. I urge their patience and ask them to be vigilant. The inconvenience occurs because we will take the steps necessary to protect the American people. Again, I appreciate the close cooperation between our government and the government of the United Kingdom. The American people need to know we live in a dangerous world, but our government will do everything we can to protect our people from those dangers. Thank you.
President Bush making some brief remarks there at the airport.
Yeah. You judge for yourself. You heard it. The pauses. Did he have somebody in his ear? Was all that being said for him? I want to thank the government of Tony Blair. Really? Not the government of Her Majesty the Queen? Jesus. I had to play it again. I'm sorry. I just had to. The country is safer than it was prior to 9/11. Really? It is. Then why is this happening? Dipstick. Hell. Let's go to the phones. Mitch joins us. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bobby.
How you doing, man?
After hearing that calm, authoritative delivery, I'm just completely reassured. I'm just calm, and now I know that we don't have to worry about a thing.
Sleep tight tonight, America.
What a moron. This is an embarrassment. I mean...
And please, let's understand, Mitch, this is not you and me saying that, he's a bad public speaker.
No, he's a bad in public, period. He's not even I don't even know what he is. He's a sad excuse for a human being.
And he's whacked out of his mind. Did you hear the slurring on the word fascists?
I know. Yeah, he's trying to really get it right, but after that S and the C so close together, it gets him really confused. You know, I mean that's a tough one for him to have to sit there and have to really wrap his tongue around. But you know, Bob, I've been telling you all along, we're going to the mattresses on this day. There ain't going to be no election. This other fellow that's emailed, so he knows that, man. In your heart of hearts, you know that, man. Unless we start making preparations for that, we're being really, really irresponsible. You know, unless we have contingency plans for what's going to happen on the day after the election if we don't win, we're being completely irresponsible as progressives, as human beings ourselves. You know, I don't know what to
do. As American patriots, perhaps.
Patriots, yes. Maybe, I don't know, 25 million man march on Washington. 25 million people show up. I mean, how are they going to stop it? The National Guard ain't here. They're either on the border or in Iraq, you know? I mean, you have enough people march on Washington with you. They literally just pick up the gates, remove Bush literally from the White House physically if we have to, you know? I just don't know what else it's going to take.
Well, the question is, and this was from the email that I got from our friend Rick in Texas. Is it the election? Is it this November that we don't get the election?
Right, but we don't get the election, right? Exactly. Us talking about this and that and all these other things, all these other issues right now is really the height of irresponsibility, because if martial law comes to pass, all these other issues will be trumped. We won't have a say in any of them. But we have to make sure that doesn't happen. And if that doesn't happen, then we have a chance of maybe having something happen in the future that's, in a positive light. But right now, it's not a matter of fighting to save our democracy. We already lost it. It's a matter of fighting to get a democracy in this country.
Yeah, dragging it back.
Dragging it back. It's gone. It's gone. It's history. It's not there anymore. These people still think we live in a democracy. We're not here trying to save our democracy. We lost it a long time ago. And we deserve to lose it, because we were lazy. We didn't think about the future. We didn't plan. People got, people just became self-centered and self-interested. And this is what happens in this kind of democracy, when people just don't come into the country.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of truth in what you say, Mitch. This is what happens when an American people fixates on the sexual peccadillos of an executive. The rest of the world looked at the Monica Lewinsky thing and they said, what the hell are you people worrying about?
Mm-hmm. I just can't understand, because I have a friend. I wrote you the other day about my friend Bobby in New York.
Yeah.
This is a guy who would walk through the gates of hell with me. He's smart. I mean, really, really smart. I mean, this is an intelligent man. He's a writer. We've written together. And, he's like the ultimate New Yorker, You'd love the guy. But in this one particular thing, when it comes to Bush and when the politics, he surrenders his ability to reason. He surrenders his ability to think rationally. He just doesn't, he just surrenders everything. I mean, it's like, Bobby, what's the matter with you? He just don't see. He goes, come on. He's bad. But the other guys have been bad, too,
Yeah, see, Mitch, that line of crap is created by the other side.
I know.
Yeah, and I've been hearing it since Richard Nixon. Well, Richard Nixon just got caught. They all did it. That is a line of crap.
We know that, but how do we get these guys that we know? I mean, you have people that are smart people, and they buy into it, and you say to yourself, what is it? You can't figure out why that person in that one area is just completely mentally out to lunch. You know what I mean? Or spiritually out to lunch, or whatever it is. And in every other area, he's a fine, upstanding human being. In that one area, you can't get through to him. And you say,
But these people don't want to be there. I don't know, Mitch. Was he wrapped up? I mean, was he an active Bush voter? Is this some sort of denial thing where he?
No, he wasn't really a political guy. He was never really a political guy. He was just a guy, went along. Yeah, whoever. I don't even know if he voted regularly. But he was always. We never talked politics. He wasn't a political guy at all. It's only since this has happened, and he still doesn't really talk politics till I get into it. Then he gets on my case.
Well, fact of the matter is, not being a New Yorker, not having been a New Yorker, I can't speak, Mitch, for what must have been the unspeakable horror of watching those buildings come down.
I am a New Yorker.
I know you are. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I grew up in a place called Bay Ridge, which is right across. I mean, you turn the roof of my building, you see the Statue of Liberty, you see the tip of Manhattan, right there. People in my neighborhood went up to their rooftops and watched those buildings burn to the ground. You know what I mean? So, the plane flew right over Bay Ridge on the way to the towers. So they saw the plane go by, flying real low, and what the hell is that doing? The first plane, right?
Yeah.
So, I know the impact. I know the impact on these people back there. New York has got more balls than that. I just don't understand. There's a lot of people in New York who are against Bush, obviously. You saw what happened at the convention in 2004. I just don't know. There's people you just can't get through the body. Do you give up on them and just say, okay, I'll just love this. I'll compartmentalize this guy, and I'll just love him in this one area. And I just, when it comes to politics, I just don't deal with them. And
I don't know
how you do it. I just don't.
I don't know that you can do that. Because. I think your buddy has a lot of compatriots in this country. And those are the people that Bush was speaking to right after 9/11 when he came out and said that, the best way for you to be a good American is to go shopping and fly to Disney World. Because he was he wasn't speaking to national security. He was speaking to what, Mitch? He was speaking to the desire for implausible deniability on the part of the American people. Don't look. Nothing to see here. Keep moving.
Right.
You know,
right.
Nothing you can do about it. We're going to take care of you. We'll go, you know, and he goes and he stands and you get the business with the bullhorn and the fake firefighter on top of the rubble and we'll bring these people to justice. And that's all, you know, and don't look. We're going to take, you know, just move along. Go buy something.
I know, and at the same time, fanning the flames at the same time. Tell you
yeah.
not to look. At the same time, fanning the flames with fear.
Well, exactly.
Don't look at fear, fear. Don't look, fear, fear. You know, it's what you don't see can even be more scary than what you do see.
Well, there's some implicit dirty junk in all of this too, Mitch. Mm-hmm. Because if the terrorists ever do get really, you know, I don't personally think that they're as fixated on airplanes as we're led to believe. Because it would be a lot more. Yeah, you want to terrify America? I mean, I'm not suggesting this. You know, Agent Fred, leave me the hell alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, no. You want to terrify America? Start wiping out Walmarts.
There you go.
You know, that's you know, and frankly, the Palestinians understand this. That's why you know. That's why they do it on buses. That's why they do it in front of pizza parlors.
Yeah, just did maximum exposure.
Right, and you know, Richard Clark, who tried to warn Bush, tried to warn Condi. He authored a thing. I mentioned it last week. I think he authored a thing for maybe Vanity Fair or something. Couple of years after 9/11, and he laid it out. He said, if this is real, and if the terrorists really are interested in bringing it to us, here's where it happens. And that's where my Walmart line comes from, because he said that is the maximum terror.
Right.
He said, it's you know, killing 3,000 people in the Twin Towers, it's awful. But it's awfully hard to do that again and again and again. But if at any random moment you can take out 12 or 25 in the sporting goods department, then you've got a truly terrified America.
And so you said, I thought, well, what state was the Oklahoma City bomber from, Timothy McVeigh? What state was he from?
Well, he was a Michigander, wasn't he?
We didn't bomb Michigan? Shit, we missed a big opportunity there, didn't we?
Yeah, well, right.
Michigan straight to hell, and harboring people like him.
Well, right. But, you know, then again, we had relatively sane people in office then.
You're right.
God only knows if Timothy McVeigh did what he did today. Duh. But then again, during Bush's time in office, right wing terrorists, you know, real honest to God, fascist, march goose step, click your heels, that kind, were caught in Texas pulling together the stuff for cyanide bombs. You've got to go out and bust your ass on the internet to find those stories.
Yeah, now that Bush is the president.
But we didn't bomb Texas.
I mean, these groups all over the country, these vigilante groups are like, it's flourishing. Flourishing. They're an army unto themselves. If they ever go to the mattresses, there's going to be a regular army out there of people that we're not even aware of. They're like militias all over the place that are in contact with one another, and they're all a bunch of like really strange people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, these people are ready for the world to come crashing down. They're ready to whip out all the guns they had saved. And
they're looking forward to it.
Oh, man, they're going to start blowing everything up. I mean, it's going to be like complete anarchy. Like, George, you know, this is the stuff George Carlin says. This is the stuff he lives for. He goes, this is what he lives for. He goes, he loves it. The complete breakdown of society. He just wants to pull up a ringside seat and watch the whole thing, you know. You know, George Carlin has his own unique perspective of things.
Sure.
I wish I could have it, you know.
I can't share that, though, because too much hard work and too much labor and too much love has gone into all this.
I know. Carlin says that facetiously. You know,
I've got Agnes and I got to keep things in perspective.
How do we do it not harden our hearts, Bob? That's what I was saying to Agnes. How do we take on this enemy at the level they have to be taken on?
You got
to
take, well, first of all, this is not...
Without becoming them.
Mitch, this is not an enemy. These are crooks. These are thugs. These are brigands. And you take them out just like you do any common criminal, as a law enforcement action.
Yeah, but I mean, we could have
had Mullah Omar. We could have had Osama.
Yeah, but I'm talking right now, Bob. What do we do now if there's no election? What do we do now? What do we do now, knowing where we are right now, and saying, and right now, let's say you know right now there will be no election in November. We'd all feel pretty foolish if we didn't make any contingency plans, right? And we fritted around talking about things. I think organizing a march on Washington might be something that could really arouse the public and bring millions and millions.
Well, I think it's something worth having out there, Mitch. It's worth saying. You know, I'd love to see the internet And frankly, this is the one place maybe where I would welcome the right wingers too, because they claim to love our nation. If that sucker cancels the election, there is no reason. Okay, the Capitol got burned in 1812. We still, or 1814. We still had an election.
Well, either we have the election or we lose the election. Either way, if they steal the election or we don't have an election, there's action we have to start planning now.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't.
And I honestly think if the election, if they actually thought they could, if they tried to do that, Mitch, there finally might be a few million people in the streets of D.C.
I mean, we're not talking a few. I'm talking 25 million people. I'm talking about like the state moving to Washington.
Yeah.
You still there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're breaking up. One of us is breaking up.
That would be you, Mitch.
It must be me.
But not, you know, if they do it, I think you're right. We gotta be ready to go. We gotta be willing to go.
I mean, even talking that up right now might not be a bad thing too. You know,
and again,
like, you know,
right?
If something doesn't happen in November, we gotta be planning to make a march. We got to plan the march.
And you're not, this is not some wild paranoid fantasy, Mitch, because the Republicans themselves, the Bush administration, prior to the 2004 election, floated a trial balloon saying, well, you know, if we get hit by a terrorist attack, we might have to cancel the elections, and we're making plans about that. Well, they said it, not me, not you.
Of course, they said they'd drawn up since day one, since they walked into office. Bush has covered himself 8 ways for Sunday, you know? I mean, this guy's got himself covered, you know? I mean, he's like the Don, you know? He's buffered. He has so many layers buffering him from everything else, you know? And it's often because he's stupid, not because of plausible deniability, just because he's a moron. Because even if he was in the room and they told him all the things, he probably wouldn't understand anyway. He'd be in the corner playing with himself, going, you know, he is a moron, the guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's Cheney and the rest of the we got to get to that. We got to talk about what we're going to do, Bob, in the event that, like you say, and it's not a far-fetched idea. It's not something we're dreaming up. It's like this, we know these people's track record. You know, a person's track record is the best we can go on.
Well, you know, the immortal Bard said, what's past is prologue, Mitch.
Maybe, you know, when they say thinking is action in rehearsal, you know, and unless we start getting, you know, start thinking about what we're going to be doing, man, we're not being responsible patriots. We're not being responsible human beings.
I think you're right.
And I take a few minutes every night of reminding people of what are we going to do in November if? What are we going to do in November if? Putting that out there, man. Putting that out there every night. What are we going to do? And as we get a little closer, maybe we can start talking more about it and getting more people to call in and talk about it, about what they're willing to do and how far they're willing to go. And we can start gauging where the public's really at and how committed the left wing really is. And if it is the lunatic left fringe, well, I don't think, you know, it's amazing how they call the Democratic base the lunatic left fringe. How can you be a base and a fringe at the same time?
Well, isn't that the truth?
Figure that one out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm either part of the motorcycle jacket or I'm the stuff flapping in the wind. One or the other. Pick one.
You hear them say it all the time. The Democratic base is the lunatic left fringe. Well, I'm trying to figure out how you can be the fringe and the base at the same time. But anyway, they got that covered. You know, they know how to use words.
Sure.
You read The Lord of the Rings?
Oh gosh, yes.
Remember Saruman?
Yeah.
Wizard. They don't really show that in the movie. There's a great scene that they missed out of the movie. The scene where Saruman starts charming everybody when he has nothing left but the words. Remember?
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
The only one there that sees his bullshit is Gandalf.
Yeah.
Remember? And he keeps doing things, and these people keep going, oh yes, he's right. You know? Oh yes, why is Gandalf doing it? You know? And all of a sudden, Gandalf snaps them back into reality. You know? But I mean, that's all they have left now is the words, and they know that. They have nothing, they have no credibility, and the words don't even mean anything anymore. You know what I mean? So now they have to invent new words, like lunatic, you know, like base fringe. There's a good one to work on, base fringe. Work on that one for a while, Bob. You could figure that one out. Base.
Oh, I'm going to have some weird dreams tonight, Mitch.
Anyway, but so I'm going to get off, maybe somebody else calling after me who might want to end the show on a higher note or a little off.
No, that's okay. I appreciate everything you bring to the table, Mitch. I truly do.
Start buying your mattresses now, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Love you, buddy.
Bye now. Love that energy. Let's go to Chris in Alabama. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Can't you just hear it? Mr. President, can you hear us? Just a long pause, maybe. I don't know. MI-5 was involved. And that MI-5, that's a damn good highway out there. No speed limit. You can fight vigilance any speed you want.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like I said, there's a reason they don't let it, you know. No FM, yeah, FM transmitters are dangerous to the President of the United States because God knows he might start singing, you know, Avril Lavigne or something if he's too, you know, yeah.
Well, we already have proof that he's done it before. I mean, there's no...
Well, yeah, I mean, during the debates when nobody was talking to him, Chris, and he goes, let me finish. And the only person he's debating is the little wire in his ear.
I know it. I remember. Right after it was over, there were photos on the web going, look.
Well, I mean, for God's sakes, a NASA scientist, Chris. You know, we're not talking about somebody, you know, down in the basement, but, you know, I'm not a NASA scientist, but I play one on the Internet. A real live, honest-to-God, fools with molecules NASA scientist who analyzed rock formations on Mars came out and said, there is something creepy under that man's jacket.
No, that man had his own agenda.
And they responded, you know, that was the fun part. The media responded by going and getting an interview with George's Taylor. What did you put in his jacket? You know,
See, that guy had his own agenda, and his base was fringing in another direction. You know, the twine was unraveling. He was Arcata. He didn't support Lieberman, even back then.
Yeah, and one of the other fun parts that I neglected to mention, walking around in the right wing news stew, was this an FBI expert told us that in fact the group that was planning on bombing the aircraft was not Al Qaeda.
Yeah,
you know, because there's a purpose behind putting it, because we've already killed all the Al Qaeda leaders. Really? Really? The 6'6" Arab dude with the portable dialysis machine, and yeah. We got him, and that what? While I was on vacation. I don't take vacations.
I don't either. I can't afford it. About an hour ago on CNN, there it was. Was Al-Qaeda involved? But the thing that's really getting me today, it's on Raw Story, the link. Activists got $10,000 for Shaiba work.
Yeah, oh, God, I saw that.
Did you see this?
Yeah, you mean Randall Terry?
Randall Terry, buddy. Oh, man.
Yeah, I got paid $10,000 for hawking Terry Schiavo's nearly lifeless gel substances, you know, Terry Schiavo's brain.
Oh, my God, if you read this article really closely, third paragraph, my services were worth the investment. He also added, I would have done it for free in a heartbeat. Okay, two paragraphs down below that. The family offered to pay him last year, and he accepted because he was a college student and needed the money.
Okay. You know, this guy's 50-something.
Two paragraphs below that, a spokesman for King said King was aware last year that Terry was being paid, though it was not widely known at the time. He would have done it for free, but he took the money. Now, that sounds like a hooker to me. King had supported Terry's Law in 2003, but later called it one of the worst votes he ever cast. Last year, he led other 8 Republican senators in blocking legislative efforts to reinsert Schiavo's veto. Terry called him Judas and vowed that if Schiavo died, there would be hell to pay. I guess that means he has to sit through an interview.
Well, you know what this guy was, but here's the fun part, because I saw this little thing fall apart. Chris, back when he was a college student,
mm-hmm.
You know, a 50-some-odd-year-old college student, Randall Terry was becoming an expert on Islam.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because the right wing PR machine cranked out a release a day. Have Randall Terry, Islamic expert, on your program.
Well, you know, a 50-year-old college student floating around those frat parties reminds me of that, what a comedian said on TV not long back. You know that thing where you can look up on the web and find the sexual predators? You know, it's called Match.com.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. Well, you know, this is the same Randall Terry who actively encouraged the abortion doctor killers. This is the same Randall Terry that set up Operation Rescue that morphed into Operation Save America that recently tried to invade the Unitarian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. You know, can't make it up.
Well, you know, he hasn't killed the cat yet.
Well, it's only because he hasn't been seen in the same room with Bill Frist. Boy, you just throw him right up there and I knock him right down, Chris.
And the Rolling Stones are playing Bill Clinton's birthday party. So.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I read it online today.
Keith Richards is still
yep.
there?
Oh, God.
You think Keith knows that Bill was out there supporting Lieberman? I don't think Keith knows about this. I don't think Keith would be out there to do that.
I don't think Keith knows much of anything except the chords, you know, and that's just, that you know, this is just sort of that prime, that part of the brain that's primal that just, you know, it's the autonomic nervous response. Only the thing is, you know, Keith uses it instead of like to circulate blood. His autonomic nervous response makes, you know, really weird bar chords, the 9 frets up the neck.
Shut up.
My blood stopped moving again, but I can still do a major 7th augmented sustained.
Hey, the man knows more than you think he does.
Sure he does.
Sure.
Well, he did before he fell out of the coconut tree.
Well, he hadn't choked on a pretzel.
Well, okay, so you win one.
My advice to Bush would have been leave it in there. It'll dissolve eventually. You know, just like, I'm not going to go there.
No, don't go there.
But hey, yeah, you know, let's put wiretaps on the plane so we know what's going on.
Well, you know, I just, you know, I gotta wonder what the effective range of that FM transmitter is, and whether or not like the Secret Service detachment can hear it and whatever. You know, do you have to have some sort of double secret probation frequency to hear what's going on, or you know, or can you hear it? You know, if he was doing this next to a, you know, in a residential neighborhood, could you hear it on the baby monitor? The crib monitor.
I've got it for you. A lot of restaurants use a PA and a speaker system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of police officers use the same band. And a lot of times they can play with each other back and forth, you know. There's a shooting, or, you know, we need more people over here, or we need 40 prime ribs, you know, well done, and they mess with each other. Just imagine Taco Bell in George's.
No, oh, I know. It's World War III could probably get started.
Oh yeah.
On an order for an enchirito.
But there's something else I want to talk about, but we'll talk about it another time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave it for another time.
All right, sounds good.
It's a more serious thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's we've already ruined all the series.
Yeah, we've already ruined ourselves tonight. Yeah, mm-hmm. Our fringe is. Receding. So.
Yeah, our fringe is separating from our base. Take it easy, Chris.
Take care, bud.
Later. Bye now. And David in Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm all right, and I will end this on a manic depressive note, a la Jimi Hendrix experience.
Okay.
7/8 time. That's a joke.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. So I was looking on the TV today, and I just thought I'd pass this along. Pat Roberts was on 700 Club, and they showed him clips talking to the president of Israel. And I was just listening to him. And there needs to be some media grabbers for the 700 Club. There's probably some out there, but what he's talking about, the Israel. He's talking about the glory of the Israeli fighter jets. And he was just going on and on. He had this stare in his eyes. That nobody was driving, and then he was talking about his talks with the president, and he had this cheerleader on his side, just like nodding along with everything he said, and I just couldn't help thinking, I was like, what kind of family life did Pat Robertson have?
And he had a very good family life, because his father was a United States senator from the state of Virginia, and when Pat came of age during the Korean conflict, he got Pat instead of having him drafted and sent, you know. And, you know, maybe him having to make the long march from Chosin Reservoir, Pat got a cushy job as liquor supply officer.
That's not what I mean, though. I mean a psychological one.
No, I mean like potty trained at gunpoint and that kind of stuff?
I don't know anything about Pat Robertson. I mean, it just dawned on me, like, just now. I don't know anything about Pat Robertson's personal relationships with his family, and if he lost someone at an early age that made him so... biblically messianic and messianic.
Nah, he is a businessman.
I know he's a hustler, but see, Bob,
but his first hustle was the religion gig. I mean, he gave Jim and Tammy Baker their first job doing a puppet show on the 700 Club. I mean, that's where the hustle started.
I know, but what I'm saying is he's a true believer, and that's why he's the most dangerous hustler of them all.
Well, I don't know how true believer, David. I mean, not meaning to gainsay you, but the fact of the matter is, Pat Robertson's got a lot of ground to make back up in Israel, because you know he got he was going to build literally. I wouldn't kid you. He was going to build the Jesus Land amusement park on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and got stopped after some really after some rotten comments that he made about what was it? Ariel Sharon had a stroke because Jesus didn't love him or something. And they said, okay, no more Jesus Land for you, Pat. And he's been bowing and scraping ever since.
Right, but what you see, this is what I mean by Pat Robertson is a true believer, and he's a dangerous hustler, the most dangerous hustler of them all. What I mean is that what you're saying is probably true to an extent, but I still believe that. But Pat Robertson, if you say this over and over and over again, it's like a tape loop in your head. It becomes part of your reality.
Yes.
And you detach yourself. And when I look at Pat Robertson, I bet you we could prove it too. If we looked at Pat Robertson in the 70s, and then if we looked at Pat Robertson now on different footage, and we had a split screen, we would probably see a visible difference, and it wouldn't just be dementia.
Well, I have the advantage of having watched him in the 70s, back when I was in the thrall of the Southern Baptist Church.
Right.
Mainly it's hair color. He's allowed himself to go a little gray. But it's that same...
See, I don't think he's just a businessman. I think people have that wrong in him. I mean, I think...
No, he's an evil businessman. You know, he has traded... He built his empire. You know, he got the investment capital for the diamond mines in Africa and the oil wells in Liberia. He got all that money from literally hustling little old ladies out of their Social Security checks. You know, he is an evil, evil man.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far because I don't personally know him.
Well, no. If you're willing to mail off a bounty paper towel that you swear has been blessed for prayer to a 92-year-old lady in Lompoc in exchange for a $200 check, no, you're pretty much you're a charlatan at that point.
And do you know who the father of conservative radio is?
Tell me your pick.
No, this is true. The guy started his show in 1960.
Who?
His name is Roy Masters. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I have. I have heard of I believe.
I accidentally was listening to his show last night. He was talking about how liberals are bullies and liberalism is a mental disorder. And I was like, Michael Savage ripped this off from Roy Masters.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, sure.
And then they said Matt Drudge, he was a follower. It all starts to make sense. Matt Drudge was a follower of Roy Masters' speech. I mean, when he really gets into the callers, I mean, he is the worst kind of hustler. He doesn't make people, he just wants to hustle their mind instead of just their money. Because I hear his website's losing a lot of money or whatever, but he was on the air and he's like, let me send you a CD. No charge. Let me send you a 40-hour.
Well, no, see, that's for tax purposes. He can't sell them. He offers them in exchange for a love offering.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's a religion.
The thing that was funny about it, though, was he was saying how his website's not making any money. And he was getting really mad. I was like, this guy is the worst kind of...
Yeah, but see, if you, like I said, you know, you go back to watching this guy in the 70s, David, he's always been at the brink of absolute financial disaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Brother and sister, we won't be able to pay for our satellite time. You know, it costs a lot of money to put this show up on satellite so it can be picked
up. I think Roy Masters, though, really does not get the money out. Because of what he says, it's like, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, it's borderline... No, it is. It is Hitler-like in the mentality.
Yeah, openly psychotic, and yeah.
Yeah, and the way he says it, I mean, he says, that's it. He's like, there is no... He said something that was so scary. He said, he goes, it's 6 million in Israel against the world, and they will win. I was like, oh, my God. If this guy had, like, a Masters watch site, he would be so blown out of the water every time he spoke. But I don't think anybody cares.
Well, no, yeah, nobody's listening anymore. And there are some of those old hardcores out there. I mean, I remember I remember hearing the John Birch Society report on a radio station where I grew up, and a guy named Alan Stang saying, this right. is Alan Stang. Think about it.
But I think it's important for people to know that he founded the Talk Radio Network.
Or right-wing talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is the linchpin. He's like the L. Ron Hubbard of right-wing talk radio.
Yeah, and, well, there's a great book out there simply called Talk Radio. I've got a copy of it. And it catalogs a lot of the people that are now forgotten. It would almost seem that Rush Limbaugh grew out of, you know, sort of sprang fully formed out of, you know, the head of the conservative movement, like the birth of Athena or something. That's not yeah. true. There was, you know, he is truly standing on the shoulders of idiots, but the idiots have been forgotten.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Just to end on an uplifting note, to Mitch in, where is he?
He's in California.
Whatever he is, wherever he is. No, our democracy isn't gone. There's a difference between being gone and fractured. And this is what I particularly don't dislike about this term, when people say it's gone. If you and me are not talking, then you can say the democracy is gone. But until you and me and everybody on this phone, and we can talk to our neighbors, and we're able to express freely what's in our hearts, in some place in the United States, then it's still here. Brothers and sisters, it's still here.
Well, a point well made. A point very well made, David. We've got to roll on. We're at the end of things.
That's why I said that.
Thanks for the
high note.
Thanks for the uplifting moment.
All right.
Bye now, David.
Later.
Our good friend David in Maine. Well, I suppose that's it. Thanks to everyone for joining us in whatever way you did so. Thank you for sharing your time with us. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my darling wife, Agnes. Brian Reznor announces the program. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives of all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. It's time to just dig deep and finish and help him finish his fundraiser. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Our news ninja is Gene. And a special thank you, a very special thank you to all the moderators in the Head On Radio Network chat room. You guys do yeoman work, and we sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Every program on the horn happens because thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights get up and go out every day and build the American dream. And in so doing, they're trying to save the American dream by making the horn possible. Many thanks to our good friend Shelby LaPrey at RadioPower.org, who shares the show with her listeners. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.